about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This will be a good lesson for you voters. Don't really pick the president. That's up to important people like corporations and celebrities.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Who cares about this stupid election? We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president. Do you really think it's going to change anything around here? Make one single person smarter, or happier, or nicer? The only person it does matter to is the one who gets elected. The same pathetic charade happens every year, and everyone makes the same pathetic promises. I don't care.
That is racist and only part true.
And now,
what America needs is 4 more years of the stuff Obama's been doing, like, the one with the guy. It was at night, and I feel like he was standing next to a fence.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that. I'm going to miss the political ads. I'm going to miss the TV. I'm going to miss the pundits.
I'm not going to miss much of that, but I am going to miss 30 Rock because they have been great leading up to this election. It has been the funniest show on TV this past few weeks as they've gotten into election 2012. And by the way, I voted Beer Mug out. Why the hell is he still here? Yeah. When does that transition take place? I went to the polls and I specifically said no more Beer Mug in 2012.
I looked for that on the ballot. I couldn't find it.
Oh, maybe you didn't make the ballot in California. We had it in Washington. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very disappointing. Hey, party people, welcome into the day after here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Wednesday. There were two things. Kevin, you probably didn't watch much of the coverage last night.
Nope.
Nor did I, because I was on a stupid airplane until 9 o'clock last night, or later than that even. So it's my Christmas. I love election night so much.
It is your Super Bowl. Bean does love to sit in front of the TV and just watch every second of that.
I love it so much.
I love the
charts and the maps and the pundits.
They just have so many maps. You love the maps.
I do love, actually, that may be actually what it is. I do love the maps. How often do I get to see North Dakota on my TV? But there were two things that happened last night that if you weren't watching TV, you owe it to yourself to catch up online. One is, and this is what's great about the internet these days, is that America just sits at home and just makes fun of whatever is on the TV, right?
Right.
One is the lady was wearing an American flag in her hair sitting directly behind the president during his speech last night from Chicago.
Right.
She had a flag stuck in her hair. You've never seen anything more ridiculous. So she became an instant meme. The other one you're going to love so much, Kevin, which was that everybody thought that Diane Sawyer, who was anchoring the coverage on ABC, was plastered last night.
Really?
Now, did you see any of her coverage?
No.
All right. Diane Sawyer, of course, is the big time. She's the anchor of their nightly news over there. So she's a big deal. So she was on last night, and just here's some of what Gawker had to say. Diane Sawyer was definitely probably drunk tonight during ABC's election coverage. Would you agree? Not convinced yet? She slurred every other word, rambled about the lack of music, asked a correspondent if the exclamation point of the Obama slogan represented the direction he truly wanted to go in his presidency. What more proof do you need? Instantly, there was a drunk Diane Sawyer Twitter account, by the way.
Love
which
it.
Was very funny. People were writing in just, trying to – I would watch network news every night if the anchors were drunk. This is massively entertaining. Well, here's another one. Well, it's no longer a question of whether she was drunk. It's now what everyone thinks her drink of choice is. I peg her as a whiskey drinker. And it just went on and on
That's
and on.
That's awesome. What channel was she on?
She's on Channel 7, ABC. So here's a little bit of drunk Diane Sawyer from last night. And Kevin, I figured you'd be the expert on this because you know from drunk, right? So you just butt in and tell me if you think drunk is happening here.
I have a question I wanted to ask, by the way. At one point, President Obama's campaign put an exclamation point after forward.
By the way, she does remind, and I know everybody's thinking this, she reminds me a little bit of you, where you can tell she's trying really hard to over-enunciate so she doesn't slur.
Yeah, you're right. She's trying very hard to hide that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It was just forward, and then it had an exclamation point. When did they decide that was the right message for them? I want to give you a sense, though, of our election headquarters here. And we know that the governor also has Lucky Milkshake. We've been spending a lot of time with these two candidates.
And we're
really up close and personal, David.
And we've been spending a lot of time with the candidates.
That's awesome.
It's good. I got a little bit more.
And, of course, it's been long work days for people out west as they head in, some of them tugging their children along.
And the other thing that Diane Sawyer does, and I don't know if this is, this may be different from allegedly drunk person to allegedly drunk person, is she doesn't shut the F up. Every sentence.
Yeah.
Now, this is edited together. This is a bunch of different clips edited together. But all of her sentences just rambled, like she couldn't figure out how to get out of them once she started them. Which I thought was funny.
But we have a projection to make without our music. We need our music. Many of you are tweeting us, and I love precision tweeting, precision social media. Let's go back over to our headquarters and Katie Kurtz. That's right, and she has run so hard.
This is my favorite one, by the way. That's right. They're talking about one of the candidates. I don't know which. That's right. She's run so hard.
So long with so much money that we remind everyone how many people around the world die.
There you go.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, the great
diet. What?
I think she was talking about people who die for the right to vote in other countries and how lucky we are. You know, that's what it went on. But what do you think? What's your verdict? Drunk or no?
Oh, drunk.
That's alleged.
Drunk. Definitely drunk.
Someone wrote in, I'm happy to know that she's not an angry drunk. Is she single? Does anyone know? So there you go. Diane Sawyer, the big star of last night's election coverage.
Wow. See, if everybody was drunk, I'd watch more.
Seriously, that would be a huge improvement over most of what's on network television. Every night you should put the anchor in their plaster.
That's what I'm saying. Just give them a few drinks, give them a few shots, and let them go.
Right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We remind everyone how many people around the world die.
All right.
Thank you
for that uplifting thought. Adam Carolla will be on the program today with This Week in Range. We are also going to take phone calls about kidney surgeries gone wrong. Just out of the blue.
What?
It has
nothing to do with any situation here. How did that
just
get
random?
Decided?
You know how we put our phone topics into a hopper and then we turn the hopper and then we just pull one out?
Kidney surgery's gone wrong. How? How
kidney
do you mean?
Kidney surgery, whatever. You went in for a kidney surgery and something bad happened. That's all.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just very, seriously? Very generic. Really not tied to anything or anyone here on the show.
Way to screw with karma, dude.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
So next week when I'm dead, everybody can go, see, that's what you get for joking about kidney surgery gone wrong. Thanks.
Has nothing to do with you.
Right. We would have done this topic anyway.
Dude, what's your deal? Justin Bieber sex doll. More details on that. You missed that yesterday, I believe, Bean. Justin Bieber sex doll.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's for guys as well, which you do like.
I don't like
am
it.
Am I correct? We also have tickets for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. And for their sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl. So that's all coming up. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I was going to direct potential Miss Double December 2013s to KROQ.com for all the details on how they can enter the contest this year. But then I thought, chicks with boobs that big are never awake this time of day, right?
Well, some of them have to be.
Some are just getting home this time of day.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe the late shift. Maybe the late shift is listening.
Denny's
right.
Early bird breakfast over here doesn't understand how the rest of the world works when it comes to partying.
6 o'clock in the morning, the hot chicks are getting home.
They should probably have their meal at 5:30 to get the discount that I do. And then nestle into bed with a cup of hot cocoa by 8.
Certainly enough to mention it, Bean.
You must be 21 or over. Complete your submission. Send in 2 recent photos of yourself, please. All the details are at KROQ.com. The Miss Double December crowning will be Friday, November 30th. It's the best show of the year, and it's going to be live once again in Fullerton at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen, downtown Fullerton. So please, ladies, get on it, okay? Because time is running out. You got to have your entries in by a week from Friday, I believe is when it is. 5:52, time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
My favorite part of the election yesterday was Big Bird voting. See Big Bird voting?
No,
that was
sure
my
did.
Favorite part. There was a columnist for the Austin American Statesman newspaper. He's a humor columnist. Does a funny section every week in that paper. And he said he decided it would be funny if Big Bird voted, which he decided to do after, smart man, checking with the county clerk to make sure it's not illegal to vote in a Big Bird costume.
That's funny.
He put it on and got in line to vote standing there as Big Bird, and the photo went viral yesterday and was very entertaining. So that was my favorite part of the whole process, I think. It's like somebody with a sense of humor put a little levity into the situation. Good times. I mentioned that MTV is getting into the business of putting on television to try to raise some money for the victims of Superstorm Sandy with their Restore the Shore show.
Mm-hmm.
Restore the Shore, featuring and hosted by and starring the immense talents of the cast of the Jersey Shore.
Fail! Epic fail.
I thought they were done.
Oh, they'll never be done.
They're certainly not going to raise money, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you watch those asshats, are you going to go, maybe
that state's not worth saving. That's what you'll think as you watch those people.
You're not going to want to do anything to help them.
But don't judge all Jerseyites by those people, says John Bon Jovi, another legendary son of New Jersey. He says he can't stand the cast of the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
First of all, he says the show doesn't represent the true atmosphere of the resort towns of the Jersey Shore, and says the boardwalk is a cool place to go, and they're not all boneheads like those people. And then he also admits that he resents programs that create celebrities, he says, especially when there's so many people out there struggling to write songs or act or write books or do something creative who cannot get the financial and publicity rewards that these people get. So
I agree with him, but without reality TV, there's no Honey Boo Boo. So what do I do?
We go without Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm willing to make that
sacrifice.
That's
a tough decision.
Why? That's the worst there is.
Yeah. But fun.
Hey, I was listening to you guys yesterday on my drive to the hospital in the morning, and it's a big mistake for me to listen to the show.
Why?
As it is for any of us to listen to the show, because you want to jump in, and you can't, because you don't have a microphone.
Oh.
But you were asking yesterday why it's Superstorm Sandy, Ralph. It's because it wasn't a hurricane anymore when it hit New York.
Then it became just a superstorm?
Yeah, because it fell down below the minimum required wind velocity to be a hurricane. It has to be 75 miles an hour or higher, and it wasn't. So that's why it was a superstorm. It wasn't a hurricane when it hit the city. That's why they call it superstorm.
Did Ralph bring up the hurricane?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he asked
the Jersey Shore
at this time why it was called superstorm. Yeah, now he's talking about the Jersey.
Okay. Now he's giving me unwanted answers to questions I asked a day ago. Yeah.
I wasn't here yesterday.
Right,
I thought it would be useful information. I thought you wanted to know.
Can't I just have that? Can't I go? Do you have to take that away from me, too?
You asked.
Yeah, but he didn't really want to know.
No. It was really a hypothetical. Just putting it out there. Making people think. Make people go, I like to talk about things that make you go,
Yeah, I like it.
While we're talking about Honey Boo Boo, she's got a new pet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's got a new pet. She's now the proud mom of a chicken called Nugget.
That's
of course she is.
Honey Boo Boo says that the two have become very attached. And, of course, her feathered friend sleeps in the house, in the bed with her.
Of course.
Because what would that house be without some chicken crap all over the place? Sometimes you look at a home and you say, yes, I can see what you're going for here with your interior design, but it's just missing an element. And when I watched that show, I said, you know what they're missing? Just chicken crap all over the floor. So they should start living with barnyard animals.
I like it.
You can't house train a chicken.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
What a shock.
Well, I think people don't know. I mean, people,
I know.
You know.
I know. Everyone in the brain knows you can't house train a chicken.
Look, there are people who think you can't house train a pig, and that's wrong. So I just wanted to put it out there. But why does this family only get pets that they can eat? What's the deal there?
You tell me. Take a good hard look, and then you try to do the logic there and figure that out. By the way, speaking of pigs, her pig Glitzy has been returned to his breeder. Apparently Glitzy wasn't working out there in the house.
Really?
Glitzy lasted like a week.
The pig could not stand to live in those surroundings.
This place is a dump. I'm out.
The pig said, I've stayed in sties better than this. And he demanded to be returned to the breeder. So Glitzy's gone, but Nugget the chicken is back. So
oh, poor Nugget.
That's good news for everybody, right? You guys see Flight yet, the new Denzel Washington movie, Flight?
Didn't.
Okay, if no one has seen it, this isn't much of a spoiler, but I don't want to deal with the fallout and the crap.
Right.
So spoiler alert. If you got a problem with this, just turn your radio down for 10 seconds. In the film, Denzel is a guy who does a remarkable Sully-type landing and saves everybody on the plane.
Right.
But in the course of the investigation, they find out he was drunk while he did it.
Right.
That's in the trailer. That's not a giveaway.
It's alluded to in the trailer, but I don't know. Again, don't want to deal with people, right? So now, Anheuser-Busch has gone to Paramount Pictures and demanded that they blur out all images of Budweiser bottles or cans in the film.
Really?
Yes. The company says, we have a long history of promoting responsible drinking in ads, and we would never condone promoting drunk driving or flying.
They don't promote it, do they, in the movie? Don't they go, thank God he was drunk?
No, there's a guy from Budweiser who shows up and says, good for for you, being drunk and flying. That's what we like here at Anheuser-Busch. Thumbs up.
Come on.
Wizenstein, whatever the character's name is. Yeah, there's all kinds of booze featured in the movie. Not the only brand of beer they show. They show all kinds of liquor and booze, but Anheuser-Busch is demanding that the images of the Budweiser bottles be blurred. Because that's why they wouldn't draw more attention to the bottles in the movie.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's certainly good of them to make sure that Budweiser is the only product that we now associate with the drunkenness in that film.
Plus, we all know that airline pilots prefer vodka because you can't smell it. So all the guys I know fly drunk, they're vodka drinkers. Smirnoff should be pissed. That's what I'm saying. Another option. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. It is November the 7th, a date that will live in infamy. Pearl Harbor Day, right? November the 7th?
December 7th, right.
What?
A month.
What the heck you say?
How long would you have had to wait October for Kevin Beerbug to come up with that, Ralph?
Until December the 7th, until actual Pearl Harbor Day. Ever since Daylight Savings Day time has gone past, it just flipped me around. I'm just all lost. I'm all screwed up time-wise. Yeah, that's why
it's standard time now. Daylight Saving time is done.
Well, Daylight Savings time ended. That's what I said. When Daylight Savings time ended, it just screwed me up time-wise.
Saving.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch. He was Peter of the Bradys, 55 years old
today. I like
today.
Daylight Savings time because I feel like it gives me an extra hour.
Does it throw you up when Daylight Savings time is over? You have to start to reacclimate yourself. And I know you gain an hour in sleep, but it throws you off at night. I think when you go back to savings time, it just really puts everything
in. I can't wait for a second. When do you go back to savings time?
When do we spring forward? I think it's April, I think, sometime.
April,
Daylight savings time starts again. Morgan Spurlock, the movie maker, is 42 years old
today. Hates it when we say daylight savings time because it's daylight saving.
The London boys, Jeremy and Jason, celebrate their 40th birthday today. Yunjin Kim from Lost. She played Sun on that show.
She was great.
Love her.
What's she doing now, by the way?
I don't know. Right? Let's call her up. Let's see what's in her fridge. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You're running out of time. If you want to join us for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons and score tickets to their sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl, we're going to give you a chance to win in the 7 o'clock hour this morning like we do. Then you'll also have another chance at 9 and then throughout the day at noon, 3, and 6 o'clock. VIP access and Hollywood Bowl tickets to details at krock.com.
Beating the story is just for you. You were out yesterday. You're back today. But Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat about the fact that there's a Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll. Are you excited?
Not even a little bit.
Oh, Bean.
Give me a Taylor Swift blow-up doll. Now we could talk.
Right, but seriously.
Justin Bieber, no.
But seriously.
I'm really really a fan of his music.
Oh, yeah, that's not possible.
Not so much of his penis. So what's the deal with this adult toy?
Pipe Dream Products is selling a $26 Justin Bieber sex doll. Although they're not calling it Justin Bieber, they're calling it Justin Bieber. So that they can't get sued.
See what they do there?
So, and they say he's not gay, but he's really kind of for everyone. Anybody that wants a blow-up sex doll, he's your man.
Okay. So I would imagine that there would be teenage girls all over the world who would want to buy something like this, right?
I don't know if they're into sex dolls as much as middle-aged men.
Let's find out what the real Justin Bieber thinks about it. He's on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin.
Yo, 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 eh?
Right. Yo, A to you as well, my friend.
Happy election day for all the United States people.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, but I know, but congratulations.
Okay.
To Barack Janama.
Obama, the president, right? Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah,
I guess.
Good on you, eh?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what about
this? Democracy, eh?
Right.
Yeah.
What about the Beaver with a V fever sex doll? What about this? What do you and your people think about this?
What's with all the questions, eh?
There's a Justin Bieber sex doll.
Oh, come on, bro.
Out there for like $29 or something.
$29?
Yeah.
That's like way cheap, bro.
Oh, you think it should be a lot more expensive?
Yeah, you want a little piece of the Beeb, you got to pay premium prices, you know?
Are you behind this? I mean, are you a part of it?
It's my first time hearing about it.
Oh.
But what, you said it's like a doll?
It's a...
Like a Barbie and Ken doll?
Well, no, it's a blow-up sex...
You stick it in places?
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
Not sure how to answer.
It's a probably life-size or close to it, because you're pretty tiny, a blow-up sex doll... That, you know, you inflate and then you do what you will with it, and it looks just like you with your, you know, sideways baseball cap and the headphones and the whole deal.
Well, I got to say, first of all, I don't know anything about this,
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you first brought it up, it's like, what's that all about? But
right.
I, I can't blame the ladies because I do know there's a lot of girls out there who are hankering for a hunk of Canadian bacon.
All right, what about
saying,
this?
Bro?
Sure.
So I'm just saying it doesn't surprise me that someone, some enterprising company has come up with an idea for satisfying the ladies because I'm only one man, bro.
Right.
I can only do so much, bro. What? And Selena keeps me pretty busy, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to the bumping pelvises thing, you know, eh?
Would you consider yourself a man yet, really?
Oh, hey, whoa.
Well, I'm just asking.
Hey, don't come at me like that, bro.
All right.
You and I will have a, like,
what?
I don't, yes. Whatever guys do when they're angry at each other.
Fight.
Fight.
Throw
it
out.
Fight. That's it.
Fight.
Yeah.
It does sound like you're not as angry about this. I would think, especially you, an artist with a lot of young fans, would really want to steer away from something like that.
I'm not about the kids anymore, eh? Come on, bro. I'm moving up. I'm in a rapper now. I'm an R&B, bro.
Yeah.
And I know that the shorties be loving some Bieber. And I got to be able to service them, and I can't do it all, bro. So I got to have a little representation of me out there to make the ladies happy.
They also say that it doesn't have this effect just on women.
Uh-huh.
Quote, he turns straight men gay faster than you can peel his skinny jeans off.
What's that all about?
You know how that works. How straight men just look at a guy and turn gay?
Right, because he's so pretty.
Because they're dolls for, like, dudes, bro?
Well, I mean, I think mainly that's who this is targeted at.
Oh, Justin.
No.
It just caught me by surprise, man.
I think the people who...
Why is this happening again? Come on, Justin.
No,
the people who will buy this...
It's for everyone, but yeah, of course you have gay men who are fans as well, Justin.
Oh, come on.
This is terrible. Justin. All right. Why is it every time we talk to Justin, this happens?
All right. Hey, by the way, this was our thought, too.
Is there anything wrong with that?
There are... Oh, so many ways you can get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. You can always call us on the phone if you've got something to say to us. You can always tweet us. Our Twitter account is at Kevin and Bean. You can go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can make a comment on posts at kevinandbean.com or on krock.com. Or you can email us. And almost all of us have email addresses that are just whoever you're trying to reach at krock.com. We're going to take a look at a few of those right now here on the show. Let me start with this, because remember that topic that we did about 10 days ago or so with people calling in with television shows that they watch?
Yeah.
That no one else ever – and I don't know that we'd heard of any of those shows that people were calling about, right?
You love a show. Nobody else seems to know about it.
Right. It was crazy. And the conversation got started when Ralph told us that a show called Emily Owens MD was not only on the air, but that had been picked up for more episodes. And we said, how is there a show on a network that we've never even heard of? Emily, what? So people started calling with all sorts of crazy shows. And in some cases, Kevin, you recall, crazy channels that we didn't even know about.
Yeah, true.
Here's one, for instance, from Martin Proctor. I give his last name because he is the director of operations for the Africa Channel. Remember we had a listener calling in saying they were watching, they loved a show called Jacob's Cross? Well, Mr. Proctor says, I want to assure you that the Africa Channel does exist. We are on channel 176 on Time Warner Cable in Los Angeles and various markets throughout the States and the Caribbean. Our mission is to provide new and exciting programming about the African continent for U.S. viewers. Feel free to tune in and catch up on the latest shows, movies, and politics about Africa. We are the Africa Channel, where Africa comes alive. That's apparently a real thing that people have that they can see in their homes.
Didn't we accuse that listener of lying?
Yes, I believe we did. I think we said he was making it up.
Politics, we were talking about a couple of days ago. We were talking about, do you tell people who you're voting for or in your family? Does that usually cause fistfights / arguments / kicking somebody out of the house? And so you've just determined that politics is not a topic that you should talk about. I just had to delete a friend this week, Jamie writes, after he posted on Facebook a piece comparing Obama to Hitler. That didn't offend me so much. I could chalk it up to whatever mental imbalance he has. The problem was when a mutual friend posted how he was a Jew, he was offended by that. Friend A then proceeded to go off on the intelligence of Jews. Really? That was it for me. I messaged him and told him I couldn't stand for that. He then went off on me as a member of the liberal media and told me I needed to do my job better. Yep, no loss in my book. Politics brings out the best in people, said no one ever. Jamie.
And by the way, no one ever has changed somebody's mind by putting a political post on Facebook either.
No.
And let me say this about the election now that it's over. No matter who you voted for, no matter how pleased or displeased you are with the outcome of the election, if your happiness is tied to who wins an election, you need to re-examine your life. There should be other things going on that should make you happy or not, separate from politics.
Right.
Can we agree on that?
Yes, please.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Veronica writes in, I was wondering if you could tell me what podcast date you guys had on the traffic ticket lawyer guy that gave those great tips on how to take care of your traffic violations. I just received a ticket from one of those photo enforcement cameras in the LA area. I remember the lawyer saying something about not having to pay because the court couldn't really prove it. Any information you could give me would be greatly appreciated to save $500.
Wow.
Are there really traffic tickets from the red lights that are that much? I've been listening to you guys for over 15 years. Keep on rocking. Love you, Veronica. I don't have that podcast date,
but if you listen, she thinks you can get podcasts.
We are having a little bit of a problem with the uploader. I don't have the date on me, Veronica, but I can tell you if you're listening to this podcast that his name is Lee Rittenberg, and his website is trafficdefenders.com. And I want to throw that out there for a lot of other people, too, because it was really an eye-opening conversation with him to find out how many places you can just not pay the traffic ticket that you get through a red light and get away with it. So you should check it out.
Passed out drunk story. You woke up someplace and you didn't remember getting there. We did that call-in topic. Apparently, I passed out in a friend's closet. That would take a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, depending on the size of the closet, but most people's closets are pretty small. I woke up and it was pitch black. I couldn't even see my hand directly in front of me. My claustrophobia kicked in, so I started freaking out. Remember, just in a closet, all you have to do is open the door.
You're not in the bottom of a well.
Right. My claustrophobia kicked in, so I started freaking out and punched and kicked a hole through the closet wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And ended up in my friend's living room.
Wow.
Sergio.
That's fantastic. Why not just open the door?
It's going the hard way.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Laura writes in, I was 15. That was the first problem. We were drinking up in the mountains, as always. The last thing I remember is pulling over halfway down the mountain to puke. Then I woke up wearing a different shirt on the front lawn of a Denny's on a Sunday morning. I was looking around. There were all these Sunday church people next door staring at me. The after story I pieced together was that my friends took me to Denny's to sober me up. I vomited at the Denny's, too. We all got thrown out. They changed my shirt for me, but apparently I got so belligerent that they couldn't get me in the car, so they left me there to sleep on the lawn. What good friends, huh? Thanks for letting me share your lines. We're too busy to call in, says Laura. I want to party with Laura, by the way.
We were talking about spoiler alerts and how it's getting more and more difficult with Twitter and you know, people texting you and all that kind of stuff to keep the results of anything quiet. This one is about The Walking Dead. Podcast listener here from Pocatello, Idaho. Something happened to me last night that brought to mind your show from a few weeks ago when you were discussing spoilers. Two of the shows I watch on Sunday nights are Boardwalk Empire and The Walking Dead. Boardwalk Empire shows on HBO at 7. The Walking Dead showed at 7 and 8. So right after Boardwalk Empire is over, I switched over to Walking Dead to catch the 8 p.m. show. By the way, if you...
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen this past Sunday night, you might...
Spoiler alert.
At 7:45 last night, while watching Boardwalk Empire, my douchebag friend texts me and says, can you believe they killed T-Dog and Lori?
Uh-oh.
Most anticlimactic Walking Dead episode ever. Thanks for everything you guys do. Fire Beer Mug Nick.
Well, Fire Beer Mug, absolutely. Sunday nights are ridiculous,
yeah,
though. You can't, I mean, if you have a job Monday, you don't have time to watch all of the Sunday night shows. You can't see Dexter and Homeland and Walking Dead and Boardwalk Empire, whatever else you want to watch on the
Drew's
network.
And Dr. Drew's Rehab. I spend all week catching up on those shows.
And finally, and this is an evergreen, just insert your topic here. We have so many listeners that like this show. But then they hear one thing, sometimes it's one line or one joke, and they'll never listen again.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
No.
Would you stop watching? This is what I ask people. Would you stop watching a television show that you enjoyed because they made one joke that offended you or one joke that you didn't like if you liked the rest of the show? The people who write and say they're never going to listen again, what's that about?
I love them.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was appalled. This was from about a week ago on the show. I was appalled this morning when I heard the fat remark regarding Governor Chris Christie. At the time when New Jersey had been devastated by a superstorm, you find this time the time to criticize him based on his personal appearance on TV. I am so turned off. I will never listen to your morning show again. A monumental natural disaster occurs, and you disregard the urgency to support those affected and those who will have the ability to lead and assist by calling the governor fat. Republican or Democrat, fat or thin, comedy or earnest, it was disgusting, Michelle. In my defense, Governor Christie is really fat.
And not just by a little bit.
Right. And by the way, we didn't say, and maybe this is her complaint, that we didn't say anything about what an excellent job he was doing leading New Jersey during the crisis.
Because we couldn't focus on that because of how unbelievably fat he was.
And I also said at the time, you recall, I like Governor Christie, but isn't he the fattest celebrity in the world? Like, is there anyone who's popular or famous who's as fat as Governor Christie? That was kind of my point. It's shocking to me that he is as successful as he is, and people are already talking about the weight loss starts today. He's got 4 years to lose 400 pounds so he can run in 2016. I mean,
he can lose 400 pounds so he can still be at 600.
Right, exactly.
They're going to have to get him out of the White House with a crane.
You can't see him on television, I don't care who you are, and not remark on how huge he is.
What's her name, the emailer? What's her
Michelle.
Name? Michelle. She sounds fat.
Oh, she's not fat. We're not saying she's fat.
I am.
But stop it, Michelle. Stop it.
Dear Kevin and Bean, you have me so torn. This is the final one. Last week, I was touched by Bean's... Let me rephrase that. Bean is doing an amazing thing by being an organ donor. I got to tell you, we're all flummoxed by this. Because Bean's evil. That's the starting point.
And then
when you realize that Bean is doing something that's really selfless, how do you put the two together, that Bean is evil and he's doing something amazing for somebody? Is it possible?
I was on with Petrus and Money yesterday in the afternoon. And we were talking about this. And Money said, but you're a dick. And I said, I guess I didn't realize that everyone thought I was a dick until I said I'm giving a kidney. And now all of a sudden I realize that I must have to reevaluate my life.
We have told you every day of this show that we think you're a dick.
I know, but
you
I'm
think
not.
It's all just for comedy?
Yes.
Are you crazy?
No.
You're a giant dick.
How dare you?
All right,
you?
Let me finish with the email. I started thinking of ways I could improve my health so that I could be a possible donor and immediately went to the links Bean gave us and started researching.
Thank you.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, fantastic.
Then Adam Carolla was on the show promoting his Mangria. I was sold. I immediately went online and ordered a case, which promptly arrived now and is being chilled. So now I'm torn. Do I do the right thing and give up all things bad? Or do I support our man Adam and drink the Mangria? What's a girl to do? Oh, well, I'll figure it out over a bottle of Mangria. Either way, fire beer mug. Cheers, Anna Maria.
You can drink the Mangria, and then you can sober up and donate a kidney if you want. You can do both, actually.
Sorry. Did I start that too early? You go back to your you can do both line, and then we'll...
You can do both, actually. Hey, did we drink all the Mangria that Adam Carolla brought in? Okay, it's all gone.
Sorry.
He needs to send it over every week, though, right? That needs to be the new deal. We'll stop having him on until he sends over more Mangria.
I like it.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. This is Bean speaking. I was out yesterday. I was at the hospital yesterday. Very exciting day, Kevin. It was kind of the final visit to the hospital, final paperwork to fill out, questions to answer, blood and everything, tests to make
that
sure
that
we're all...
That doesn't sound exciting. You mean exciting in that it's finally going to be here and,
it's
over?
It's getting close. Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. It's getting close. We're less than a week out now from the surgery. And for folks who don't know, we have been updating the situation with the surgery, which is coming up next Tuesday, where I am donating a kidney. And it's really amazing. If I can speak on this for just a minute, because I'm certainly no a professional advocate here or not, but I am now passionate about this topic because I've learned so much about it in the past few weeks and months. But I didn't know anything about living organ donation at all. It's not something that was on my radar. The only thing I knew about it was that John Locke got ripped off by his dad on Lost when he gave a kidney. Remember?
That's all. The extent of your knowledge was from Lost?
Yes. The extent of my knowledge was his dad sucked up to him because, he never had been a father to him. And then as soon as he got his kidney, boom, he was out of there. That's the extent of what I knew about kidney donation. But it's unbelievable to me how many people we have heard from since we went on the air with this less than a week ago who have had every possible connection to this story that you can imagine, from I got a kidney transplant 25 years ago and I've been living healthy ever since, to I lost a family member because they were on the transplant list and they couldn't get one, which has just got to be the saddest thing. Imagine what that would be like to have somebody who is dying in front of you because they can't get a kidney when there are so many people out there who have kidneys to donate. There's 80,000 people on the list waiting for kidneys in this country.
Holy
right now.
Cow.
80,000. So we're getting so much great response from this, and you won't have to hear about it for too much longer. Let me just read one thing, and I put this up on KROQ.com yesterday as well. Dan Thomas, a listener of ours, who put this message on his Facebook page. As we're in the season of giving, I thought I would share a great example. Longtime KROQ DJ Bean has decided to donate one of his kidneys to help save the life of one of his coworkers, Scott Mason. Due to his efforts, I have decided to sign up to donate my organs upon my passing. If you'd like to do the same and save someone's life, please go to organdonors.gov. Thank thank you for your consideration. And that's just a great example of a real fast and easy way to kind of spread the word to have people think about organ donation in the event of their death, which, I mean, I think that alone would solve the problem.
You know what? Yes. I did that, I don't know, 15 years ago because of you talking about it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
How about that?
I thought, oh, yeah, I could totally do that. Why not?
Yeah,
why not? Bean, this is America.
Exactly. Then we move on to this, which is Kevin and Bean listener Matt, who lives in Connecticut. And this is going above and beyond the call of duty to a point of maybe we need to talk him out of it. Matt is on the phone with us right now here on K-Rock. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, you cannot donate both kidneys.
It's admirable, but it is physically not advised. Tell us a little bit about you. How old are you? What do you do?
I'm 39. I work in a cancer registry. I do cancer statistics.
Oh, look at you. You're so much better than we are.
Already you win.
And how do you come to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, listening all the way out there in New Haven, Connecticut?
Well, when I was out in California a few years back, that's how I got hooked.
You got hooked?
Okay.
And like, and crack, you can't give it up?
And now I can't give it up.
Yeah. And we appreciate you sticking with this. All right. You wrote us an email. Tell us what it said.
Oh, it just basically said that, you know, I thought about donating a kidney for a long time, and hearing you and Scott talk about it, that really put me over the top. So now, Friday, I have an appointment to get my tissue and sampled and my blood taken, 22 tubes, and then they take out one of my kidneys.
Yeah, that's only the beginning, by the way. They're not going to leave you with no blood by the end of this process. That's what I'm finding out.
But wait a minute. You don't have a specific, like Bean was spurred to do this by a friend of ours who's dying. And that was kind of put in his face, and he said, well, this is logically makes sense. I have two. I only need one. You just are going to give one randomly, and you don't even know where it's going?
I have no idea.
You're so much better than Bean, even.
Yes, you are. I suck. Bean sucks. Bean sucks. So, Matt, I don't even have words for something like that. That's unbelievable. So you're just putting it out there in the universe and saying, look, if I am eligible, if I am deemed a good donor candidate, please take my kidney and give it to someone who needs it.
Exactly.
Wow. What if that person is a dick? You don't want to help a dick be alive.
Well, hopefully that changes their outlook on life.
So hopefully you'll make the dick nicer. In this case, Scott's nice, Bean's a dick, and all of a sudden Scott's going to be a dick when he comes back around.
I have to tell you, Matt, your note blew me away, and then I received several more just like it. And I got an email from somebody who works at a different kidney transplant location than where I'm going. Her name is Jennifer, and she said she has had several people come in since we made the announcement on K-Rock last week who have inquired about getting on the list to be tested and to see if they would be a potential match with somebody. I mean, this is just more than I ever could have possibly imagined as a result of us talking about it on the radio. And the reason we wanted to talk about it on the radio was to kind of spread awareness about kidney problems in this country. But I never thought that there'd be people like you out there, Matt. You are amazing.
Oh, awesome. Well, it pretty much turned into a no-brainer now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's great. Man,
listen, there's a fine line between smart and insane. I'm not sure which side you're on.
I'm telling that line.
All right.
You say in your email, so Friday you start the screening process. I've given this a lot of thought in the past, but somehow I always just brush it off. Now is the time to do something about it. I want to thank you for sharing your story. It's pathetic, Bean, but you have helped make me a better person, Matt. P.S. And here's my favorite part. P.S. Fire beer bottle, ladies and gentlemen.
So, that's the condition of him donating a kidney.
I think we can all agree on that. Well, Matt, we wanted to give you a shout-out and thank you so much for, A, listening to the show, and, B, going through this process. And please keep in touch and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Awesome. We'll do.
All right, man. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot for coming on. Bye-bye. Adam Carolla later on the program today. Also, your tickets for Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. Running out of time to win those. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
I got a sound effect for everything, man.
You do.
I'm sure. I'm good to go. Oh, okay. Enough with this guy.
What guy?
Eva Longoria. You know, she broke up with Mark Sanchez.
Right.
Quarterback for the New York Football Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you say Jason Sudeikis to me. Don't you say that.
Nope. Who? Eva was seen getting cozy with... Any other guesses besides James?
Wilmer Valderrama. Oh, come on! Are you serious? I was joking.
Nope.
He does okay, that Wilmer.
This guy hasn't done anything on television since those Yo Mama joke show, right? I mean, that's the last thing he did.
And that was unwatchable.
And for Kevin to say that, people, yes, you have to understand what that means.
Can we please do a phone-in topic from the ladies to tell us what's Wilmer got? What's going on with this?
What do you think they're going to say? They're going to say he's good-looking and he's got personality.
He's Pez, though.
What personality?
I don't know, but what do you think they're going to say?
I don't know. All right. That's why he wants to ask.
I really don't know, because I look at him and I go, he looks like somebody you'd want to be friends with. He doesn't look like somebody you'd want to date or have sex with.
400 more attractive celebrities.
Right, and about 5,000 more popular.
So does he keep rising to the top when it comes to the Punani lottery?
He's an expert swordsman.
I mean, at least, Kevin, you look at someone like John Mayer, who's, you know, his competition, and you go, he's a guitar player. He writes sensitive music songs. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got some things that
well said.
Thank you. He's got some things that make sense for women to fall over him.
In B's defense, he does write those music songs.
Good music, good songs.
The sensitive music songs that he writes. I hate the non-musical songs.
Oh, those are the worst.
They really turn me off.
They do.
So, congratulations, Wilmer. Once again, wonder if it's just a success begets success kind of thing.
Yeah, women see him with another hot chick.
They must think, wow, he must have something going on because he was just knocking boots with Cameron Diaz, whatever it was last week.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Another day, another charge against Little O'Hare.
Now what?
Santa Monica City Attorney apparently isn't impressed with the fact that after Lindsay rear-ended that 18-wheeler on the Pacific Coast Highway last June, she told the police and everyone else who would listen that she wasn't driving. Now, cops did find prescription pills in her purse and the car's trunk after the crash, but she wasn't charged because the medication was prescribed to her and she told them she wasn't driving. She was not. She was on the medication, but she wasn't impaired because she wasn't driving.
Right.
One small problem. What? Multiple witnesses at the scene say she was the one behind the wheel, and she swapped seats with her assistant after the crash.
Is that right?
That sounds illegal, Ralph.
That is. And more importantly, lying to the cops is really illegal. It's super illegal.
Especially when you're in her kind of trouble.
When you're on probation.
Yeah. Mm.
Word is charges will be filed this week and could trigger a probation violation, which would mean a stiff, long sentence behind bars for Lindsay. Now, usually she's all about stiff and long, but not when it comes to the Gray Bar Hotel. Are you with me, fellas? Huh? Huh? Get what I'm saying?
We hear
you. You know, I love the collectibles. I love these auctions. I love every time something goes up for auction, it goes for the big coin.
You might love them too much.
I may. Then again, I may not. I may not love it as much as the person who's going to be bidding on this item. Kevin, I know you are not a Beatles fan.
No.
But even you must be familiar with the iconic album cover for Abbey Road, which features the four Beatles walking across that street.
Yes.
Everyone's seen that.
They're selling the street?
They're selling the street. You actually get to dig it up and take it home. No, the photographer who shot that shot only shot four pictures that day of them walking the street.
Well, that's bad.
Well, they did it.
It's confident. You say, I can get this cover shot in four pictures.
They didn't close the street or anything. They literally went down to the street and did it with traffic.
Yeah.
So they didn't have much time.
So the four original negatives of those alternative shots from 1969 will hit the auction block this week. What do you think it's a conservative estimate. What do you think they're going to sell for? This is a conservative estimate what they think they will finally go for.
$100,000?
$100,000, yeah. That's what they're guessing. That's the conservative side.
It is?
Yeah. It could go for much, much more, but they say it'll get at least $100,000 for four little pieces of plastic.
Wow.
Little negatives for that photo shoot.
I mean, it's a neat collectible. It's certainly one of a kind and iconic, as you mentioned, Ralph. But what do you do with something like that if you own it?
Well, if you own the negatives, then you publish the pictures, and people have to pay you for them.
Here's the answer. You spend the rest of your life going, no, it's the real one. I'm serious.
I'm sure it comes with a certificate of authenticity.
Look at my certificate.
But then you take those negatives, and you do high-end fine art prints of those
photos.
Do you
own the rights?
You own the rights.
Okay,
so if you want to use them in a Beatles book, or you want to create a fine arts limited edition print of that? You want to sell it in art galleries and stuff? I mean, I can imagine you could make a lot of money off those.
I've only, you said there are four photos. I've only ever seen two. I've only ever seen one of the other one. One's the album cover. The other one is the four of them standing on the sidewalk getting ready to step out onto the street to do the album cover. And that's just pretty cool to see something like that.
You know way too much about this story.
That photographer is just too chintzy. He's just not good enough
Let's
for me.
Let's go, boys. I don't have all day. Let's shoot a couple photos and go home.
Take one of us on the corner. Get it.
Paul, take your sandals off. Go barefoot.
So that everyone will say you're dead.
That'll happen.
Do you want us to do the crosswalk again? Got it.
Got it. Moving on. Who do you think you're dealing with here? I'm a professional. And Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth may not be making it to the altar. You know, they are engaged, but things may be going south in that relationship.
Yeah, it can't work.
RadarOnline.com says that Liam was spotted getting very cozy with a smoking hot blonde at a Hollywood party late last month. Word is his handlers are trying to keep other partiers away so no one would snap pictures of the two. And Miley was nowhere to be found, so this may be going south.
At some point, you have to look around and go, I could do better than Miley.
Especially if you're Liam Hemsworth, because you look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, look at me.
Yes.
And I'm in the Hunger Games, and I'm a huge freaking movie star. That little blonde boy is the one I'm going to marry? No, I say to you. So that's a move up. That's a move up if you're Liam Hemsworth. I don't care who she is, that blonde is, but it's a move up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Yeonjun Kim from Lost. She played Sun on that television program. She's 39 years old today. The London twins, Jeremy and Jason. Jeremy was in Party of Five. Jason did a bunch of movies, including The Rage, Carrie 2, the less successful sequel to the movie Carrie. 40 years old today. Morgan Spurlock, documentary filmmaker, turns 42 years old. Did you ever see that documentary he made about Comic-Con?
I did not.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. I wanted to, it's but really I didn't good. See that.
Fascinating show. Yeah. And Christopher Knight of the Brady Bunch played Peter on that famous TV sitcom. 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I thought the whole reason we had an election yesterday was to vote out the Lumineers. What happened? You're supposed to wake up to a new America after election day.
They won by a landslide.
Still here. The Lumineers are still here. What the F?
They won by a landslide.
Hey, yeah, Kevin's wife, Melissa. Hey. Hey, Kevin's wife, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good, Bean. How are you?
I can't believe the two words I'm about to say, but here they are. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you all. Isn't this chilly weather just making you feel so holiday?
We're practically living in Massachusetts. What the hell's going on?
I know. So
Melissa
exciting.
Stops by a couple times a year to talk about the charity that she and Kevin run, but mostly she runs, called Friends and Helpers. The website is friendsandhelpers.org. And I know we do a big back-to-school bash for you and your peeps, but you got something coming up for the holidays, too, that we want to make sure to get the word out of.
The holidays is four times as big as the back-to-school.
Well, 40 times. Yeah, but maybe. You're close, Kev.
Yeah. Explain to people what the charity does for those who don't know.
Okay, what our foundation does is we provide holiday gifts for abused women and children who have taken the big step to get out of their environment. And what we're doing is help support them as they get on their way. We provide Christmas gifts, essentials that they need, over 5,000 stockings, and we have people all over the place that maybe just may get one gift for Christmas, and we provide that one gift. Well, with your help, we provide that one gift.
So, you know, the women and the kids sometimes run out of the house in the middle of the night to get away from abuse.
Correct.
And they literally are trying to get a job and get back on their feet. And literally, and I'm using that word correctly,
yes, you
have
are.
Nothing for Christmas. And you read, so we get these lists from these families, and they say, a mom will say, shampoo. And
right.
You go, for Christmas?
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's that part of it where you go, they're not asking for, you know, the latest iPad. They're asking for shampoo because
they
don't have it.
You know, and the situation that the people we work with, they're all in center. They're going to school. They're getting job training. They're starting all over again. They've gotten out. So they don't have any self-esteem. They're learning, you know, how to make choices all over again, which is very, very difficult. So by everybody participating in this program, by going to friendsandhelpers.org and adopting a stocking or adopting a family, shows them that some people care about them, and that in itself is a big thing for them to understand.
Explain why you started the charity. My wife started it. I'm really just a cheerleader.
Well, I'll take you for that, babe.
Because of my startling good looks.
That's it. Okay, the reason we started Friends and Helpers is I am a survivor of domestic abuse. My domestic abuse situation, I was in it for 3 years. And what happens is it starts with a slap across the face. And then they apologize. I'm sorry, it won't happen again. And then it's another slap, and it's a punch in the stomach. And the years go by, and, oh, I slipped in the kitchen and I broke my arm. You know, and you start making excuses, and the injuries get worse. But every time, it's they're so sorry, and they beg you to stay. And as it goes on, you become the person who feels ashamed. You're embarrassed.
And this goes to the question of a lot of people go, why don't they leave?
And you know what? I couldn't leave because by then, I felt so ashamed. I had no self-esteem. I felt like it was my fault. I didn't know what I was doing wrong. He kept telling me how much he needed me. And this kept going on and on. Well, by the third year, it had gotten to be a joke among my friends. Not a joke like that way, but, you know, I had black eyes. I had split lips. And everybody was saying, Mel, you need to go. You need to go. And I just didn't know how. And to take that first step felt so enormous to me.
Tell them about decision-making. When you're in that situation,
you can't make a decision. You can't pick a green candle from a red one. You're just all you're trying to do is protect yourself from getting beat up,
and your kids,
and you can't take it anymore. And my situation finally ended in my dad's front yard when I was getting beat up and thrown against a brick wall, and my sister and my friend Debbie Engler were trying to pull everybody off me, and my dad was calling the police, and as the police were taking him away. And I was there with a broken arm, broken ribs, black eye, the whole bit. I was saying, please don't hurt him.
About my
abusive ex.
Wow.
And I went, it's taken me a lot of years to understand that I didn't do anything wrong. So I know how hard that first step is.
Would an organization like yours at friendsandhelpers.org, would that have been of enormous comfort to you at that time in your life, Melissa?
It would have been enormous. And if somebody had reached out to me from an organization like that and helped me, it would have changed my entire life.
How many women do you think you have in the program now or have helped over the years since you guys have been running this?
Since we've started.
It's thousands, right?
I would say it's in the tens of thousands. And I have to say the K-Rock listeners are the main reason.
They're the bomb.
The K-Rock listeners are the main reason that we've been able to do the work we've been able to do.
Could you explain what adopt a stocking and adopt a family means?
Absolutely, I can. Adopt a stocking is perfect for our little stoner friends here at K-Rock. You just go right on to friendsandhelpers.org. You just click on the stocking icon, buy one, buy 20, get your office involved. And that stocking, we have over 5,000 this year. Is filled with candy and little treats, and that stocking goes to a child that may be the only thing they get this holiday season.
And it's, what, $25?
$25. And it helps. It's such a huge, huge deal.
If you can't give that much, there's ways to give less.
Also, there's a donation thing. You can give whatever you want.
You can buy 2, 3, 4, 5 stockings if you're able.
If you're able.
This time of year.
We're grateful for anything you can do. The K-Rock listeners have always been so generous and lovely. Adopt a family, which we have hundreds and hundreds. You can go to info@friendsandhelp.org. That email rolls directly to me. And if you look on the website, it gives you a little overcap of what adopting a family is. We can hook you up with a family that matches yours, and we can help you with that. And you can adopt a family
What that means is we get a sheet of paper from the individual families and the stuff that their kids want for Christmas and that they want for Christmas. So when you go out and adopt a family, you buy these gifts. These are the ones that they asked for. You know specifically that it's going to go to that family and help that family. And something that I have nothing to do with that I'm the most proud of is that the IRS says that 5% has to go to the group you're trying to help. 95% can be used for overhead.
But 100% of what we do, Friends and Helpers, 100% of what we bring in goes to the cause. Kevin,
thank God Wycliffe John isn't running this anymore. Yeah. I got to tell you, that was a good move when you moved him out.
That was a whole Haiti thing.
And by the way, I've been to Haiti. It's pretty spiffy down there. They got some nice stuff.
Okay, take it easy. But anyway, we do have a full group of women who help you
volunteers,
run this. Volunteers.
Women, all volunteer.
They have full-time jobs, but they do this on the side full-time, and they put so many hours in so that every penny you spend can go to these families.
And guess what, you guys? Bean, you'll love this. The
Tell
post
me.
Office gave me clearance this year, so I only have to pay 16 cents a stamp.
Because the post office is awesome. That's
awesome.
Why.
That's why.
That's the only person you could tell that with so much excitement as being.
You can get all the information about how to adopt a stocking this holiday season, how to adopt a family. You are always looking for new volunteers if somebody wants to help in person.
Absolutely.
You also have live events coming up in Southern California, several of them all over the air with drop-offs and whatnot. All that information is on the website at friendsandhelpers.org. If you get to work or wherever you're going today or tonight and you can't remember the name of the organization, just go to krock.com or to kevinbean.com. We got a whole post up there about it with all the links you need. So good luck to you, Melissa. I hope it works out this year.
Thank you. I appreciate it, you guys.
We need to tell people that they can win tickets for breakfast with Mumford & Sons next.
Oh, yay.
Listener Oki is what we're looking for. If you want to call us and sing your favorite Mumford & Sons song, this is going to be bad. I can tell you right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number for Listener Oki if you want to get into the breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
How about VIP access to Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to see their sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl? Sound good to you? 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play Listener Oki.
Listener Oki, Listener Oki, that's the game we're going to play. Listener Oki, Listener Oki, come and sing and don't be lame.
This is...
Why do we have a guy who can't sing the Listener Oki theme?
I have no idea.
Okay.
This is marginally better than Ober Oki, but just marginally. All right, so you sing your favorite Mumford & Sons song. Lisa's out today, Bear Mug, so you're going to have to keep track of everyone who participates and help us decide at the end, okay? Because we may need a tiebreaker on who's going to win these tickets for the VIP Mumford & Sons and tickets to see him at the Hollywood Bowl. Let's start with Tiffany. Tiffany's on line one. She's going to get us going here singing some Mumford. Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
Good, thank you. And I'm sorry ahead of time.
Well, we appreciate...
I want the ticket, so I'm trying.
All right.
We appreciate your candor. Good luck. We just want to hear with as much enthusiasm as you can muster at this time of day, Little Lion Man.
Okay, I'll start from the beginning. All right. Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man. You're not as brave as you were at the start. Rake yourself and rake yourself. You'll take all the courage you have left.
Okay. All right. Started out strong.
She's fading.
Okay.
She's fading.
Hey, and change your smoke detector. Come on. You know you're supposed to do that. The batteries after the time change, all right?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. All right, Tiffany, you are in the running. Hang on. Thank you. Some of them are so bad we just say goodbye. Thanks for calling. But I think Tiffany still has a shot, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Okay.
Let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What song are you going to sing?
I Will Wait.
I Will Wait. Here you go.
Well, I came home like a storm, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun.
All right, Lisa, thank you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard I Will Wait?
How dare
yes.
you?
Oh, you have? Okay. All right. Hang on. You're in the drawing. Let's try, how about Sam? Sam is on line four doing some Mumford & Sons. See what a dude can do with it.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
All right. It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun arises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind.
It's not bad.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're doing the cave there. Nice. Now, I wonder if it sounds good to us because we're used to hearing a dude sing that song. You know what I mean?
Because
it sounds
question.
More like Mumford, I wonder.
I could try the chorus.
Yeah, no.
All right. I think we're fine.
Thank you.
All right. So we got Tiffany, we got Lisa, we got Sam. Let's try we try a couple more. Let's go to Brianna.
All
Brianna
right.
is on. Most Briannas are hot, so I just want to think about that.
Hi, Brianna.
Hello. Hi.
What song are you going to do?
You guys?
We are good.
I'm going to do Little Lion Man as well.
All right. Here's Brianna
right,
now.
See if you can make us forget Tiffany.
All right. And it was not your fault but mine. And it was your heart on the line. I really did up this time. Didn't I, my dear?
We're just expecting that last line.
Just hoping that.
Waiting for that. I'm sorry.
I love that she did the radio edit. By the
yes,
way,
I
how
do
about
too.
That?
Yes.
That was very
in comparison to yesterday where every caller we had cussed.
Yes, I got to tell you, Brianna, to me, clear favorite at this point.
Really? Because I feel bad choosing any of the above over any of the above.
Really? You mean you think they're all equally good slash bad?
Well,
all right. Let's take another one. Let's try Anna. Let's try Anna on line six. By the way, predominantly women calling for these Mumford and Sons tickets. I guess that Marcus is considered pretty dreamy. Hi, Anna.
He is very dreamy.
Okay, good.
Okay, what are you going to sing for us?
What are you going to sing?
The Cave.
There we go.
All right, we're looking for somebody to just blow us away so we don't have to argue over who wins. So good luck.
Okay, well, I don't have a good voice, but I'm really excited. I really want to go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you left behind.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your enthusiasm. All right. Thank you, Anna. Let's try listener. Is this listener Alf on line nine? Is that right?
Alf.
Listener Alf. What?
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Hello? Oh.
Wrong line. Huh. Try nine.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Hang on. Wrong line. Hello?
Hey, guys.
Alf?
Yeah. You ready?
Are you going to what? Sing?
Okay.
All right, Alf. Is there supposed to be an R at the beginning of Alf?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. Who do you like here, Kevin?
I got it. I don't know. I just, for some
we
reason.
We can have a sing-off if there's somebody that you're.
For some reason, I feel bad. We could have a drawing, though.
You want to just do that?
I'm saying we
you
could.
You thought everybody was about
well,
the same?
Well, it's not that they were all the same, but they all wanted to go the same
we're
amount.
We're out of time. Make a decision. God damn you.
Let's do a drawing.
All right. Is it going to be Tiffany? Is it going to be Lisa? Is it going
drum
to be
roll
Sam?
Again, please.
Brianna? Is it going to be Brianna? Is it going to be Alf? Beer Mug, who's our winner for VIP tickets to Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to go see him at the Hollywood Bowl?
Lisa on line two.
Yay! Lisa, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You got tickets for the breakfast. You got tickets for the Hollywood Bowl. Thank you for playing the game.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listen to Rokey. Listen to Rokey. Thanks for playing. Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. You suck and we're lame.
Very exciting times for moviegoers these days. Of course, the new James Bond film Skyfall opens everywhere on Friday. We've got tickets to give away on this morning show to the final episode of the Twilight movies. That's coming up on November the 16th. I want to say that opens. And people are already looking ahead, Kevin, toward 2015 for the next Star Wars movie.
Well, once Disney bought Star Wars and announced that they were going to start coming out with more movies. Everybody's trying to guess what the movies are going to be, what time frame they are. Are they before? Are they in the middle? Are they after? Who's going to be starring? And it looks like Harrison Ford is open to the idea of bringing Han Solo back to the silver screen in 2015.
Harrison Ford is 70 now. But I guess
90 if he's a day.
I guess if they're not asking him to be an action hero, I mean, he could certainly play an old Han Solo, I guess, if they want to start the new movies that close to at the, you know, chronologically at the end of Return of the Jedi, I guess. They'd have to start it within 50 years of the Return of the Jedi.
But so Han Solo was only a pilot.
Right.
So what could it be now? He's too old to train people. He's too old to fly.
Yeah, I don't know what they would do with that character. And I was really surprised to hear that Harrison Ford, according to sources, is interested in the role because this is the one role, Han Solo, that he has never seemed to be all that jazzed about. You know, he's the guy who always turns down all the offers to talk about the movie or to go to the Star Wars conventions or anything like that. He very rarely does anything. But when he does, he usually says the character's not that interesting to me. So we wanted to find out why he might return to be Han Solo. So we asked producer Dave if he could line up the great Harrison Ford. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Harrison.
Morning.
Bean, you're going to stop the music.
Ma'am.
I can't. You're going to have to stop the music. Mm-hmm. I can't hear.
Okay. Harrison?
Yeah.
Can you hear us okay? Because you're super low.
Yeah, I think I know. More.
If you could just maybe project a little bit.
Yeah.
You too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, wait, you have a whip?
Yeah.
All right. Indiana Jones whip?
Yeah.
Nice. Right.
No,
I'm not.
Alone.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were still talking.
I didn't know you were talking at all.
Okay. Harrison.
No.
Okay, whatever that was. Let's move on.
I'm not misquoting you when I say that you have said in the past that the Han Solo character was just not that interesting to you, and that you, in fact, went to George Lucas and asked that the character be killed off in Return of the Jedi, correct? So then why are you... So why, 35 years later, are you now interested in playing this character again?
Because I think the fans were not in their belly in the story.
I'm sorry, I can't make out what you're saying, Mr. Ford. I'm sorry.
We're going to revisit the characters. We were with Mark and Karen.
Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, right?
And they've finally wrap up those Murdoch comes from.
Okay.
I heard wrap up
there. What would you like to see the character do next? Kevin was asking, what's left for Han Solo to do, 40 years after he's been a pilot? What would his character be?
I heard vampire.
Empire.
Oh, okay. Well, if you could say it that way, why don't you? Oops, sorry.
Who are you whipping? Why do you have the whip?
Lena
Olin?
They're playing all the spaceships and the admiral or something.
I don't have any idea.
Spaceship and admiral is all I heard. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, I'm on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any preferences to who you would like to see directing the movie? A lot of big names have been thrown out there as being interested, obviously.
You're so tired by every question.
Those guys in the work went to the year before and after. Adam Sandler.
I heard Adam Sandler. That's not possible. That's not possible. That can't. Nope. You can't possibly be serious about Adam Sandler.
I don't know. I'll have him a little joke.
That's your wacky sense of humor?
Yeah. The one thing I'm. When I went talking with the people that were involved with the project, it was from the Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher and vomit is all I heard.
No, I heard doing a love scene with Carrie Fisher.
Love scene with Carrie
you
Fisher?
You want to do a love scene with Carrie Fisher?
No.
Oh, good.
Throw up.
Come on.
Good point. They're announcing this morning, Ralph, that this Prop B passed in Los Angeles County.
Insane.
Do only people who don't watch porn vote? What happened? What went wrong here?
I just can imagine that people didn't do any research or reading about the measure at all, and they just said, well, yeah, AIDS is bad. I don't want anybody to get AIDS, so let's make
condom
them use condom.
Condom
use is good. Yeah. This sounds like a reasonable thing. Let's vote for that. And they just didn't realize what they were voting on. It's the only possible explanation.
I'm not going to get AIDS because I'm watching a movie where two people I don't know are having sex without a condom, though, Ralph. That doesn't work that way.
To think that the city of Los Angeles can afford the manpower or money it's going to take to try to enforce this is fiscally irresponsible on top of everything else.
You think
on top of being unnecessary.
You think they're all calling in today going, hey, I'd like to be on the porn.
Yeah, are you hiring yet porn marshal position?
Porn marshal position, I'd like that one.
Porn marshal available yet? I'd like to be a porn marshal.
What's happening?
Show up with a hazmat suit and binoculars.
I just feel like this is more of a Russia thing or a China thing, that the government's going to go into a workplace and say, I demand you show me your genitals. I need to make sure you're wearing a condom.
Look, there's already testing in place to prevent against this. I could see even if you wanted to pass a law to increase more comprehensive testing for performers and then give them the option of using condoms or not. If you're really concerned about safety, I could understand that measure. But to create a new position and spend tax dollars in order to create a porn marshal.
Oh, we got a lot of tax dollars. Don't worry about that.
It just struck me.
California is wealthy.
I said, wow, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah,
AIDS it is. Bad. Yes, condom's good.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
It'd be like hiring a guy to go to every construction site in Los Angeles and make sure that guys didn't hit themselves in the thumb with a hammer while they're putting up drywall or something.
Hold that hammer. I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, I understand there's safety issues in place and there's precautions in place, but you don't send government officials around to police that kind of stuff, right?
Where's the outrage there? Yeah, you can't complain about your tax dollars not being spent wisely and then vote for this. You just can't. All right, 7:56 here. It's the day after Election Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Bean.
My other thought is maybe, and I didn't look hard enough into who was proposing this measure, maybe it's anti-porn groups who would like to see...
Oh, like they did with cigarettes for a long time where they just hit it from every angle they could.
Would like to see the industry driven out of the state of California. And so they figure, well, maybe if we attack them in this area, it'll force them to pick up and move and produce the films in another state because they won't be able to do so here.
Tax those profits
someplace else. Another possibility I can imagine that they want to drive that industry out of
We can afford to lose working people in the state of California, too. Let the tax base move away. That's fine, too.
I was stunned. I really was stunned when I saw how roundly it was voted yes for.
Very disappointing.
Considerable. Yeah. Let's talk about a different kind of movie. A less exciting kind of movie. No, okay. I'm kidding. Twilight Saga. You can't get any more exciting than Twilight Saga. This is like porn for tweens.
Yeah,
this is the closest thing they get. They get sparkly vampires. They get damsels in distress. They get talking dogs. They have vampire babies. They got all kinds of things going on in this series. And the final film in the series, Breaking Dawn Part 2, of course, hits theaters Friday, November the 16th. But if you're a Twilight fan, you probably wouldn't be interested in going to the red carpet world premiere, would you?
I think they probably
you think
would.
They'd like to do?
Yeah.
They'd like to see the movie before anybody else? Think they'd like to be on the red carpet with R-Pats and K-Stew?
I would think so.
Taylor Lautner? T-Lot? It's all happening at LA Live, downtown in Los Angeles. Monday, November the 12th is the date. The red carpet world premiere of Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. You want to go? Then let's get those phones ringing. 1-800-520-1067. Just one pair of tickets for this. This is a hard get. So if you're caller number 12, since it's happening on November the 12th, caller number 12 will win a pair of tickets to Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
I'm sorry. I think we just gave them away. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dave. With your pull, Dave, couldn't you just call one of your showbiz buddies and have
them? But where can I get them? I mean, is there...
Talk to your agent or talk to somebody connected with the production. I'm sure you're a big star. You could probably go to the premiere if you want.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
No!
Or can I just go down there?
No, come down at midnight. That's when we have everyone pick stuff up.
That's the big ticket get. That's
what do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Probably. I don't know. A lot of people probably stay down there downtown.
Sure.
I'm sure they have lots of rooms.
Sure.
Boy, he's really confused.
He is.
Sad news today. Brooke Shields, her mother, Terry Shields, died yesterday at the age of 79 years old. She was responsible for Brooke Shields' career. She was a single mom who pushed her daughter into show business when Brooke was just 11 months old, had her started posing for magazine ads. Brooke became a very successful child model. Caused some controversy when Terry Shields allowed a photographer to take nude photos of Brooke when she was 10.
Look, I know you're only 10, but show the cans. That is very troubling.
It was a different time, Kevin. It was
very
a different
troubling.
Time.
I don't care.
It was a time of artsy fartsiness for its sake, and it was it was lava lamps and beanbag chairs and free love.
Don't care.
When she was 12, Brooke made her movie debut in Pretty Baby, where she played a child prostitute in the Louis Malle film.
Her mom really had it in for her, didn't she?
Her mom was fairly permissive when it came to allowing her to work in all sorts of adult situations.
Fairly.
And they had a parting of the ways late in life, and it was an ugly scene. And her mom passed away after a lengthy battle with dementia, which is the horrible, horrible way to go. But she passed away at the age of 79 years old. I remember when I was a kid, I ran into Brooke Shields at a airport. And I'm pretty sure we're around the same age. And at the time, I thought, wow, look at her. She's beautiful. And I wanted to go over just to say hi, just to meet Brooke Shields. And her mom, ran interference like an offensive lineman between me and her daughter. Yeah, I guess even then she could recognize my sexual power. She was afraid that I would taint her daughter in some
way. Or the bad element approaching.
How dare you, sir?
And how old was she, Ralph? I'm sorry to revisit ancient history, but since we're talking about Brooke Shields, how old was she when she did those Jordache jeans ads that were considered pornographic at the time, too?
Four. No, she was over 18 at that time.
Oh, she was. Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't. That was
a big deal.
Nothing comes between me and my Calvins.
What? That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, no underwear. What? No underwear. That's what she was saying. Yeah.
I'm about to get a copy of that.
Yes.
See, we've been told we can't play those at this normal speed.
So that's what you get.
It's like on the news when they try to disguise the identity of the informant. And they put him in silhouette and they just put a voice changer on him. Oh, come on. Come on, stop it.
Yes. Giddy up.
All right, that's enough. That's enough.
Come on.
There's not enough in the world.
Giddy up.
Did not see that coming.
Giddy up.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Born today on November the 7th, Yunjin Kim from Lost. She played Sun on that television program. 39 years old today. Jason and Jeremy London. The London Twins. They're 40 years old today. Morgan Spurlock, documentary filmmaker, is 42. And Christopher Knight, who played Peter Brady in the long-running Brady Bunch TV show, 55 years old today. Man, that was funny.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Adam Carolla, later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, although I may not talk to him if I don't get some more of that mangria up in here, I'll tell you that. A couple of reasons for you to check out kevinandbean.com this morning. First of all, Kevin's beautiful bride, Melissa, was in earlier today talking about friendsandhelpers.org. That's the charity that those kids run, and they are in the Christmas mode right now, trying to help underprivileged, abused women and children make their holiday dreams come true. There's all sorts of ways you can help. There's a brand new post up. You can link to that right from kevinandbean.com this morning. I also put up a new post kind of outlining where I am in my surgery procedure. As you know, guys, 6 days from now, I go under the knife at Cedars-Sinai giving away a kidney.
Are you worried?
I wasn't until I started talking to you.
Because I was having this conversation without you, and I thought, you know, that's not a little thing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not a fixing an ACL in your knee or some sports injury.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a risk of any kind of surgery. They're opening up your abdomen and they're going in there and they're removing an organ and then closing you back up. And of course, I have great confidence in the team over there. I've met them and I think they're going to do a good job. They do two of these a week. I think I'm going to be fine. But I will tell you that when you, like yesterday, I was at the hospital all day long yesterday doing tests and paperwork and stuff like that, getting poked and prodded and everything. And they, you know, they're required to talk to you about what some of the possible downsides are of the surgery.
Now, is this where they have to list everything possible?
Yeah, this is just like those ads for whatever prescription drug you see on the TV where they have 800 things that could go wrong. And you go, why would anyone ever take that pill, right? Because if it happens once in a million times, they have to list it as a side effect.
If you donate a kidney and have a boner for more than 4 hours, please contact your doctor.
Before I read this list that they gave me yesterday at the hospital, you want what? You want us to take phone calls?
Well, we've done this before for others, in all fairness, where a guy says, I'm really worried about fill in the blank. And then
I think we did this for vasectomy. Didn't we have a guy who called up and said, I was afraid about getting my vasectomy because of the fire down near my junk. And we had people calling in whose vasectomies went horribly wrong.
Right. So we had the guy on the phone, and then we took calls from other listeners who did have serious problems with their vasectomies. And we made that guy feel worse. That is what we do here. So it feels like if you're going to go in for surgery for a kidney,
dear God.
Like if we're going to be if we're going to be fair to our listeners, we would do it to ourselves as well.
All right. So you want people who have been on what? They've donated kidneys?
Any kind of kidney surgery gone wrong.
Any kind of kidney surgery gone wrong. Okay. That's what you're looking for.
Now, Dave printed me out an article. I'm not sure I need woman dies while donating kidney to relative.
Oh, dear God, no.
I'm not sure we need one that's that quite on the nose. But you had complications, and it went worse than you thought. Just to stir up a little bit of fear and Bean.
Oh, my God.
I think it's fair.
Woman dies while donating a kidney. I mean, it's one thing to die from a surgery that you need, but to die from a voluntary surgery.
Yeah. But it's for her relative.
You just have to shake your head, though, and go, sorry, relative, right?
Well, no, then there's two available, right?
That's true. That's a good point. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Which you should think about as well, by the way. Scott might need another one.
All right, easy, pal. Here's before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 with your kidney surgery disasters. Thanks a lot. Here's the handout that they gave me yesterday about some of the things that can go wrong. And, Kevin, you're absolutely right. Number one on this list is mortality. Usually, patients have a very minimal risk of death when undergoing kidney surgery. However, .. and then it goes on to tell you all the different things that can go wrong.
But they don't lead with the smallest, most insignificant stuff and then work up to the end where you're finally, you might die. They start with death?
I'm afraid they don't. Surgery always has risks of complications due to the invasive nature, and the kidney offers unique sets of complications after the operation. All right. Hypertension.
Okay.
High blood pressure or hypertension often occurs in patients after kidney surgery.
Now, you've never had that.
No, so I have super, this super could be good new readings for you. On that. Yeah. It could be due to a variety of reasons, such as kidney damage and poorly controlled pain. If not properly controlled, it can cause bleeding from fresh surgical sutures.
Oh, man.
That goes hand in hand with hemorrhaging, which is also a real possibility. It can appear early after surgery, also weeks to months later. They gave me a long list of things.
Can you get the bird flu? Is that one of the risks?
Of things to do and not do after surgery. Like, I can't take a bath, for instance. You're not allowed to have your surgical scars in water and stuff
that's
like that.
That's all right. You don't wash your dreads anyway.
Renal artery thrombosis, which is basically clots that form. Stenosis of the renal artery, which I don't know what that is, but it sounds terrible. It has something to do with decreasing blood flow through the artery. Aortic complications, that the list goes on and on. Yeah. Kidney failure.
The one that you have left?
This, to me, sounds like almost a deal breaker.
What?
You go in and you donate a kidney, and then there are complications that result in decreased blood flow to the kidney during surgery, and then that kidney fails? What? And here's your favorite, blood vessel injury, and here's your favorite, bowel injuries. This is most common during laparoscopic kidney surgery because of the decreased visual field that a surgeon has when using a camera to view the surgery. Injuries can occur out of the view of the surgeon and manifest as persistent pain with subsequent abdominal symptoms such as diarrhea, nausea, and persistent bowel problems.
For life?
It can progress to seriously threaten the patient's life, so the surgeon must be vigilant.
Oh,
I got a
blind
guy doing my surgery, so I'm fine. He's doing it all by feel,
oh,
so that'll be fine.
God.
But again, if this I mean, all of these that I've mentioned, in all seriousness, are probably, 0.2%
right,
of the
Right, so don't
the
worry
surgeries.
About them. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Don't worry about.
I didn't want to worry about them until I saw all the phones lighting up.
Don't worry about that, and don't worry about the callers that we're going to talk to in a few minutes about having huge problems with their kidneys. Surgery.
Let's talk to Mark. Let's do one real quick before we break. Mark is on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. What could go wrong with a kidney donation is the last thing Kevin wants me thinking about as they wheel me into surgery on Tuesday. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Well, I ended up going just for a regular biopsy because they wanted to make sure I didn't have any kidney stones.
Right.
And apparently one of the guys didn't really wash his hands that well.
Great.
So I ended up waking up and they told me I had a serious blood infection and I ended up having to stay for 2 weeks as opposed to 2 hours.
Wow. Wow. Just not washing his hands. Think about that, Bean.
So,
I mean, think about that.
No, I don't want to think about that. Dude, that's 2 weeks in the hospital with a blood infection. You thought, hey, I'll see you at home for dinner, right, honey?
Yeah, I was just, they just told me, well, you kind of got to stay home for a couple of weeks. And I was just, what?
Did you just call Mark honey before he?
No, I'm saying that's what he was saying as he was going out the door in the morning. I'll see you at home for dinner, honey.
That was a good delivery, though, Mark.
You're
on
in the hospital
what?
For
Yeah, that was not good.
That was good.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Mike, you hang on. Daniel, you hang on, too. What went wrong in your kidney surgery? I'm going to really enjoy this. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is next on Kidney. Sorry, we're out of time. Oh, you look at the clock. We got to move along. We got Adam Carolla coming
Bean,
right up.
We do this to every listener that writes and asks our help.
But,
Kevin and Bean, I'm really worried about my vasectomy. Can you guys please help? We get the guy on the phone. We have people call with disaster stories to make it worse. That's what we do.
Okay, but I don't
want to
die.
So we have to do it for you as well as the listeners. It has
taking
to be fair.
Taking your calls, if you had kidney surgery that went awry, I'm 6 days out from mine. Let's, Lisa, please hang on. I promise we'll get to you. Chris, you as well. Let's go to Mike first. Mike's on line three to get us going here in the second.
Hey, Mike.
Lisa May, how you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
What happened? Did you go in to donate a kidney?
No. I went in for a kidney stone that was about the size of a grape.
Okay. Ouch. Very painful. All right.
They were going to remove it, so they got that all handled, and maybe a week later I got an infection in my testicles. Okay. My left testicle was literally the size of a softball.
Oh, dude.
That's sweet. Bean, is that on your list?
No, it's not on my list.
Add it.
When I would go into work, you could see it, and I had one of my coworkers calling me Sock Boy because he said it looked like I had stuffed a sock in my underwear.
How did you get the swelling down?
I went in and they at first they thought it might have been a hernia, so I went in and they were going to do some surgery on me, but they took a better look, I guess, and they started feeding me antibiotics, and the infection went away. But the problem is now I have all this scar tissue around my left testicle. So my left testicle.
I'll bet that's attractive, an attractive addition to an already attractive part of your body.
It's about two times the size of my right one. So.
Good times.
Bean's
Mike.
Gonna have a big ball.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Chris. Chris on line two. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin to Beach Show. What happened?
I guess it was just like a birth defect, and my kidney got inflated one day, and it was pinching off a nerve in my left side.
Right.
So I couldn't walk, and I went to the hospital, and they said that my kidney was inflated, so they had to drain it because it had fluid in it.
Yeah.
And so when they did that, it was draining for about like 2 weeks. And during those 2 weeks, it got infected. And when it got infected, they had to cut 50% of my kidney off.
Oh,
sweet.
Dude.
Okay. So that Dean can look forward to that with his one healthy one.
You know, all of this isn't going to happen to one person, right, Kevin? Some of these I'm going to miss.
Of course, I know. I just want you to worry about all of them.
All right, let's go to Lisa. This is not the way to inspire people to consider living organ donation, by the way.
This is what we do for our listeners, Bean. If it's good for them, it's good for us.
I'm going to talk to you guys next week, and I'm going to be 100% fine. The surgery would have gone well, and there's going to be none of this nonsense.
Right, but between now and then, I would like you to worry.
All right, Lisa.
I want it to go well for you, but I would like you to worry beforehand.
Yes. What happened?
Yes, Lisa.
Hi,
what happened?
Okay, I got bit by a black widow spider, and I went to the hospital, and I had an aorta aneurysm, and they had to do emergency surgery, and they accidentally severed my kidney. And so I went through 17 surgeries and was in the hospital from October to February.
Lisa, I'd just like to butt in here. Did you say 17 surgeries?
Yes, 17 surgeries. And I just wanted to give you some advice.
Yeah.
Well, because I think I'm a pro at surgery now.
Okay.
Right before you go in, they give you anesthesia, you know, to numb you up.
Propofol.
And make you
right.
fall asleep.
Right.
And it's the worst thing in the world that you have dry mouth. And they give you like this lemon stick to suck on, and it doesn't do anything. So the best thing that I found out that was the best thing for me every time I went in was I brushed my teeth. And
with vodka?
With vodka, yeah. And used mouthwash, and that really helped the dry mouth. And
look, I'm not worried about my throat feeling dry based on the stories that I heard about you. But you had 17 surgeries after they worked on you. That's what I'm worried about.
After
I don't want to make a life choice.
After 15 surgeries, don't you go, hey, I'd like a new surgeon.
Seriously.
Well, I died 4 times, and it's not so bad.
Why don't you leave with that?
Oh, my God.
She died 4 times, Bean.
All right. I'm glad you called, Lisa. Hold on. Diane Sawyer's got some words to cheer me up before we go.
We remind everyone how many people around the world die.
Hey, wait a minute.
Don't forget.
Before I hit this button, do you think Adam Carolla voted yesterday? Let's take a guess. Yes or no?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Adam strikes me as a guy who's trying to change the system from outside the system, man. Yeah. Not inside. He's not the man. Adam, did you cast a vote yesterday?
I did.
Wow, I'm a little bit surprised.
I'm trying to work under the system, actually. But still technically not in the system, so it's outside.
I see. Oh, thank God it's over, though, right? Thank God it's over.
Thank God.
Adam Carolla joins us every week here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You should go to his website, adamcarolla.com, for all the great podcasts and live show information, including next Tuesday at the Ice House in Pasadena with special guest Dave Attell on the 15th at the Brea Improv with Greg Fitzsimmons. And then you're playing next Friday night at the City National Grill of Anaheim with your good friend Dennis Miller. All those tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And buy yourself some goddamn mangria while you're there. You won't regret it. It's perfect for all the holidays coming up. Ace is here. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, working to number one. Thank God election's over. Thank God Obama's in. Because I got to tell you, I know there's some people that are disappointed. But I feel like Obama, for the last 4 years, like a great fighter, has been working the body. For just 4 years, just working that body. Like 250 rounds of just body work.
To weaken the defenses?
Now the haymaker comes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's been working that body. He's been swinging that axe. He's been chopping at that oak tree. And now we're dragging him into the later rounds and drown him. He's been working hard, and now the haymaker comes. So look out. And I must say to the ladies and the Latinos and the African-Americans, rejoice, because it'll be unbridled success from here on. Rocket sled ride to the moon. You think I'm kidding, but let me give you an example. Remember that president who came in a few years back and helped the Asians and the Jews? Oh, no, wait a minute. They're into homework. Okay. All right, scratch that. Let's move forward. I'll tell you what I will miss about the election. The
what?
Prop commercials.
Oh, those are good.
It's going to save my relationship, because every time I see one of those prop commercials, it's the same hot chick. Like, she's dressed down, but she's clearly an 8.5 or a 9. She's
right.
Trumped up a little bit.
Right.
She's toting the groceries. She's doing the kids' homework in the background at the same time with, like, her foot
right.
while she's putting away soup.
Right.
And then she looks, she breaks down that fourth wall, and she's like, you know, at first glance, Prop 28 claims to protect marine mammals. But have you read the fine print? Like, who is this bitch?
She's a superwoman.
I don't know a woman who's read anything, much less the fine print. I don't know anyone who knows anything about props. Who has the time to do the kids' homework with their foot and stock soup cans and break down the fourth wall and read the fine print?
Just that woman.
She's a miracle.
And then it's got to be confusing to the kid who's doing the homework in the background. Like, Mommy, why are you talking to the refrigerator again? This woman is hot, well-read, and knows everything and doesn't mind schlepping the groceries.
Yeah, it does make all the rest of us seem inferior in comparison. You're right.
It is the same hot 31-year-old brunette
yeah.
who can't stop reading fine print. All right, and number one, this guy. I'm going to give you guys my hypothetical road trip. You have to drive from the pier in Santa Monica to Florida with one of two dudes.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Either the dude who votes in the morning and then wears the I voted sticker on his shirt the entire day.
Okay.
So
a lot of those
everyone
people
in the office can see he's a hero.
Right.
Right.
Or the I gave blood sticker shirt guy. Because you get a sticker for both.
I think right. I give blood. Right. I think that's easy. I give blood.
Yeah. I think
right?
either way, if you apply the sticker to your own shirt, you're a douchebag, right? Like, if you're walking out of the polling place and a guy swings down from a bar and slaps it on your chest, it can stay on to the walk to the car.
Right.
But you certainly don't wear that thing into work, right?
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the people are wearing the sticker all day because they want people to think they're awesome, or do you think they're doing it to raise awareness that this is something that you should consider doing also?
I know it's to make everyone think they're awesome.
Okay.
I don't right. think they give a crap. It's just to shame the people in the office that haven't voted. Then you have to get in that awkward conversation with the communist who you see in the hall who looks at the I voted thing, and then he has to do that sheepish, yeah, I'm just going to swing by during lunch. There's probably a whole market for bootleg stickers. Like, I could probably just stand in front of office buildings and go, you're coming back from lunch. You went to Arby's, didn't you? You didn't vote, did you? There you go. $8.
There's a sticker.
$8. You want to go up there? You want the prying eyes? You want to be judged? Here you go. Oh,
that's a great idea, man. That's a money-making opportunity for the next election. I love it. AdamCarolla.com is where you want to go for all the details on Adam's podcast. Also, the live events again in Pasadena next Tuesday. He's going to be in Brea on Thursday and Anaheim on Friday. Tickets available through AdamCarolla.com. And buy yourself some Mangria. Why don't you? Ace Man, thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Somewhere out there, there is a gorgeous, fun-loving, huge-breasted, 22-year-old woman who's laying in bed in a little Victoria's Secret negligee, and she's saying to herself, how can I spend some time with Kevin Embiid?
I'm getting very uncomfortable with you describing
how can I hang out with Kevin Embiid? That's what she's wondering. Well, it's easy, ladies. All right, Ralph, with the singing. Miss Double December 2013. Applications are now open at KROQ.com. If you're 21 or over, please complete your submission and send two recent photos of yourself to us, and then be prepared to come on down if you make the final 10 and be interviewed on the radio. We'll learn what your talent is, and then we'll see you again on November 30th as we broadcast live once again this year to crown a new Miss Double December at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Again, that date, November 30th. You ought to plan on taking that morning off and coming down and being with us because it's a fun show, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take, take the day off.
You'll need it. You're not the day after, too. Yeah. You're going to need that to recover. I just wonder, should we have Bean be the guy talking to the hot women in our audience?
No, that made me uncomfortable.
And I think it's not effective either, because when Bean talks to hot women, this is what they hear. It's like Charlie Brown's school teacher.
It's either that or they hear,
I'm Bean.
Guys, what was wrong?
They tune you out.
Nothing
was wrong
with
what I just did.
We're trying to get the information to the hot women.
I got the information to them.
Bean, let me explain.
No. Nothing was wrong with the words you chose.
Right.
It was the delivery mechanism.
It was the mouth that they came out of.
Right. Let me ask this then. Ralph doesn't want to do it because it's too much work and he's precious. No one wants to hear Kevin read. How do you propose we get this information out there?
I was more than willing to do it. I just need to be reminded to do it.
Everybody wants to hear me read, too.
Yes, first of all.
By the way.
Time for the show.
856.
That's what they heard. They're like, what? Slide? Something's happened at the slide bar? Real quick, I heard you guys talking about Kidneys Gone Disaster.
Yes.
My favorite new Fox series. This tweet came to me this morning. Hey, at Ralph Garman. If my move to Los Angeles doesn't work out with at LA Radio Scott, can you get me in as a porn marshal? That came from Bean's Kidney, who's tweeting now his own. Yeah.
Okay,
so if everything goes south with Bean, I'm hoping we can at least save the kidney and get him a job as a porn marshal.
I'm concerned that my kidney is tweeting and I have nothing to do with it and know nothing about it.
Well, Bean's Kidney, at Bean's Kidney, if you want to check it out. He's very entertaining.
Okay.
We don't know who it is.
We don't know who it is, but he's very entertaining. Porn marshal's taken off like a house on fire,
by
the way. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be the most in-demand job in America, right?
Egotastic.com, one of my favorite websites. Like, poor marshals! They're jumping all over it. They love the idea. This may be a boon. Who knows? We'll see. The line to get that job?
Yeah.
Imagine how long that'll be?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about movies. Disney. First of all, let me say, first and foremost, that I love everything about Disney, and Disney is the best.
That's correct.
Disney is one of the great American companies, and we do nothing but love and respect everything that Disney does. We especially love their fine, well-educated team of lawyers that they keep on retainer 24 hours a day.
Along with everyone else.
Along with everyone else connected to it. But I'm just saying, especially the lawyers, I'm very impressed with. However, Disney has become an empire.
And even better?
Whose hunger cannot be satisfied.
They just bought something else?
Well, they're in talks, apparently, according to MTV Geek. To purchase Hasbro, the toy company.
Wow.
Hasbro Toy Company. Which, of course, Transformers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, are all properties of Hasbro and all have been turned into successful movie franchises. Now, those licenses already belong to another studio for the time being, Paramount. But if you own the Muppets and Marvel and Star Wars and Indiana Jones and you want to make toys for those properties...
Interesting.
How sweet is it to own your own toy company?
Interesting.
Then all of a sudden Hasbro starts cranking out all the Spider-Man toys and all the Darth Vader toys and all the Mickey Mouse toys and everything else have you. And next thing you know, global empire is what I'm saying.
But a good one.
But a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And one we'll look forward to being owned by someday.
That's inevitable.
When they thaw Walt out, he's going to be so thrilled with the job they did, I think. He's going to be like, he'll wake up. Hey, what's going on, guys? We own everything, Walt. Wow, awesome. Good job, guys. But I'm back. Let's get to work. Another movie I cannot wait to see released. I've already seen the film, but I can't wait to see everyone's reaction because I've been talking about it so much. This is Skyfall, this new James Bond movie. Boy, it's just a great goddamn movie. You're going to love
it. Will you go see
Skyfall.
It again, Ralph?
Absolutely.
Love it that much?
I want to see it again regular, on the regular screen, and then I want to see it IMAX, absolutely, because the pre-credit sequence alone for Skyfall, you know Bond is known for his pre-credit sequence. Most Bond films have this elaborate sort of action-packed pre-credit sequence before they even get into the main theme and the credits. And the one on this one, I'll tell you, just takes your breath away. Just remarkable. And in an age of CGI, when so much of movies feels fake because it's done with computer graphics and things, to see real stuntmen doing real stuff again on the big screen is just thrilling to me.
Ralph, what would you say if I told you tomorrow we had Berenice Marlowe in the studio?
tomorrow. Okay, stop that noise.
I'll probably say that. That's what I'd probably say.
She's going to be here tomorrow.
She is the new Bond girl, of course, in this film. And I'm telling you, that is a good deal right there. Whew, man. Here's a scene that takes place in a Macau casino.
Okay.
With our favorite secret agent, 007, and the delicious Ms. Marlowe. And, boy, yeah. just you could cut the sexual tension with a knife between those two. Pretty impressive stuff.
It's anyway, going to be the same tomorrow when she comes in.
Yeah, it will. I got to get my tux clean. Make a note for myself. Clean tux.
You going to rent that Aston Martin? Come on in tomorrow?
I will have an Aston Martin.
What?
Tomorrow. I'm not going to rent it. I have one Aston Martin.
Are you buying? Me? What?
The good folks at Aston Martin, along with Sony Pictures,
letting you drive one?
In appreciation of my heartfelt support of Skyfall, they're bringing a 2012 Aston Martin DBS for me to take enjoy myself with.
Wow. Yeah. Dude.
I'll be spinning around in that. I'll be cruising
around.
What's
that car cost?
I don't know.
About 10 good mentions?
I think it's more than... No, this is not a sales deal. This is a freebie. They said, hey, we want to do you something nice. You want to take a drive in this thing? And I'm like, yeah. What do I have to do? No, nothing. We'll just send it over.
Yeah, what's your answer going to be? No?
Yeah, right. Of course. I'd like to drive a $100,000 car, please.
Wow.
Yeah, it costs about 100 G.
And you're going to drive
beautiful,
it?
Beautiful cars.
It's a stunner.
I'm
going to
be
like
waiting.
Rocket ship.
I'm going to be waiting on the side of the road. I'm going to just T-bone you. I'm just going to knock you.
You have no idea what weaponry I have built into my Aston Martin. I will turn you into pink mist with a couple well-placed
you
missiles.
You won't even see me coming.
Yeah, because you're so stealth.
I am stealth. That's what I'm known for.
Uh-huh.
My car that won't stop locking.
A lava stinger missile right up your tailpipe. And then we'll see what happens to you. The reason I bring up Skyfall.
Yes.
Wasn't to mention the Aston Martin or my love for the film, but the fact that Sam Mendes, the director of this brilliant film, is doing press this week, and he mentioned that there was a flirtation. There was a moment. There was a brief moment in time when it looked as if there may have been a Sean Connery cameo in Skyfall.
Really?
How awesome would that have been?
He seems too grouchy to make that happen.
Sam says ultimately he and the producers decided against it.
Oh.
Because he thought... It becomes too, he says, it would take you out of the movie. Connery is Bond, and he's not going to come back as another character. It was a very brief flirtation, but we thought it would distract too much. To which I said, yes, I understand that. I understand that, yes, there would be a moment like, oh my God, that's Sean Connery. But sometimes moments transcend your desire to make the film 100% believable. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, the 50th anniversary of James Bond, if you had Sean Connery just show up as a guy sitting there reading a newspaper who lowers it and takes a look at Daniel Craig as he walks by, wouldn't that just be awesome?
Yeah, you'd think
that would be
totally.
Awesome.
Totally.
Yeah. So that's one of those could have been situations, but nice thought. Nice thought. I'm way past time, and I got so many good stories. Come back in 45 minutes and listen
or
to
me. Or just stay with us.
No.
Right.
I'm not going to do that to these people. They're nice. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch is 55 years old. Today, Morgan Spurlock, the documentary filmmaker, is 42. Jeremy and Jason London, the acting London boys, 40 years old today. Yunjin Smith from Lost, who played Sun on that TV program, is 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks to Jennifer Lee. I love it when our listeners are named Jennifer. All Jennifers are hot. You know, we'd established that years ago, right?
I think that is true.
Jennifer Lee from Long Beach, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, and just won one of the final pairs of tickets to join us for our special VIP breakfast with Mumford & Sons, brought to you by the Southern California Mini Dealers. That is, by the way, going to be, and I don't think we've announced this much, if at all, it is going to be Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. That's when you can hear Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. We interview the guys. They play live for you. Jennifer also picks up tickets to the sold-out show coming up at the Hollywood Bowl. Your chance to win at noon today, and then at 3, and then 6, and then 9 o'clock, and then it starts all over again tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.
Hey, Bean, do you know something about mole calling? Mole's on the line?
No. Why? Mole? What's going on? Mole?
Hey, Mole.
It's Mole.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey,
we heard you.
Lisa May.
She's out today. I'm sorry to say, Mole. Your girlfriend's not here.
Oh, because I know what she's doing. You guys are probably wondering why I'm up so early. And also, you're wondering what I had for breakfast. And the answers are, one, raspberry Pop-Tarts and egg jammers and a glass of O.J. Kush.
Okay.
That's reefer orange juice for the straight Saturday.
O.J. Kush sounds good. Yep.
Because this guy's going to vote. It's President's Day. Free stickers.
Okay, first of all, it's not President's Day.
I don't know where to start.
Well,
second of all, the election was yesterday. The stickers and all of that with the voting and the change in the America and the democracy, that was all yesterday.
Not true. Wait, did everyone remember to set their clocks ahead 24 hours? That's where you're messing up.
Well, no, you don't set it ahead 24 hours. It was only back an hour.
You guys are going all Sunday. Looper on me.
We're not going looper on you at all. We're trying to figure out what you're saying.
No, the clock change to standard time was Sunday. And Kevin's right. That was only an hour. That shouldn't have made any impact on what day you thought Election Day was.
Right, but we got to vote for president and condoms on porn stars.
That was yesterday.
It was all yesterday, Mole. It sounds like you missed it.
Oh. Spoiler alert, dude. What else? The Tigers are going to win the World Series? Ruin everything.
The Giants actually ended up sweeping the Tigers. I'm sorry. That did. You have that on your DVR. You haven't gotten to it yet?
Let me ask you guys a question. Did you guys vote, or were you too busy playing your rock and roll records, hippies?
No, we voted. Yeah, of course we voted. Sure, because we knew when Election Day was.
Oh, this is bogus. You know, Kevin, this is the first time I could vote because of that bogus felony thing, because on account of that time I drove Greg's minivan into that snack machine that stole my dollar.
Yeah. No one blamed you for doing that, by the way. It was an appropriate reaction.
But you can't vote now because you're a day late and all the polls are closed.
And let me ask you this, Will. What does America have to do to let people know when Election Day is? We've only been hearing about goddamn November 6th for 2 years. We all knew it was coming.
Thank you. Who did you guys vote for? Who won?
President Obama
was reelected.
You think he won because the other guy was all about not baking out and being all cool with billionaire rapers and stuff?
I don't know if that's
how many an accurate summary
to characterize what happened. It was a very, very close election, but the president was reelected.
This is a killer. You know, I actually was... I was actually voting for my neighbor, Johnny Greenleaves. He was a write-in.
Okay.
He's a fiscal conservative and a liberal Quaalude user.
Well, I'm sorry he didn't win. That sounds pretty good about now, actually.
I'll tell you what, Quaaludes are the backbone of Greenleaves care. It's like Obamacare, but way more Quaaludes.
Sure. Wow. You know, Mole knows a lot more about stuff than I expected him to.
I do. You know, something. Hey, can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
You guys want to do some Greenleaves care and go see the new James Bond show, Skyball?
Skyball. Okay. Skyfall, yeah. And we'd like to see that maybe this weekend,
I think it's Skyball. James Bond gets a pair of magic Michael Jordan sneakers.
I don't think that's the plot at all.
I couldn't really follow the trailer.
All right.
Johnny Greenleaves was James Bond.
We have to go, Mole. I'm sorry.
This is for Quaaludes.
Understood. Thank you, Mole.
Tell me about my sister in broadcasting, Bean.
Well, I used to say that there's no possibility of you moving up in broadcasting and making it to television, but I think I was wrong, Kevin, because now apparently they'll hire anyone, no matter how drunk they are. Diane Sawyer last night, who, by the way, I don't know anyone who doesn't love Diane Sawyer. She's terrific. She's a very well-respected broadcaster and journalist and has been forever. She's their lead anchor on ABC. She does their nightly news for them. So she's the big gun.
I don't have the category of loving news people, but she's never rubbed me the wrong way, if that's what you're saying.
And now you will love her. Now she is your favorite. She got all kinds of attention last night, particularly on Twitter, when people were, at first they were theorizing, and then they were convinced that she was plastered during
That's
the coverage
alleged.
Of the election. Well, maybe it is alleged. She might have just been tired. I mean, you can imagine how many hours they've been on the air, especially this week leading up to and then last night for the election.
Yes, Bean, but so was everybody else that was covering that election. She's the only one that it sounded like that.
No, you're right. Nobody's calling Scott Pelley on CBS drunk or Wolf Blitzer on CNN. What was the evidence? This article says it was mostly her voice, which got a little loud and then a little slow, and her seeming fixation on the network's patented results music. She also stumbled over her words a lot. At one point, calling President Obama Barack Obama. So all over Twitter last night I was seeing it. It was killing me because I couldn't watch. I was on a plane, so I couldn't be watching. Diane Sawyer is drunk on America.
It.
No, really, I think she's drunk. Another one from They Might Be Giants, by the way. And Diane Sawyer declares tonight's winner is Chardonnay. And it just goes on and on and on. Somebody even set up a drunk Diane Sawyer Twitter account because you know that happens instantly.
That's alleged.
Hey, guys, who won? I fell asleep was one of the tweets from drunk Diane Sawyer. Here's the
Here's a montage that the funny people over at Gawker put together of just some of the moments from last night's coverage. Now, you tell me if she sounds drunk or if people are just jumping on her being hypercritical.
I have a question I wanted to ask, by the way. At one point...
That does sound like Kevin at the beginning of every Las Vegas show.
Yes, it does to me, I'll tell you.
President Obama's campaign put an exclamation point after forward. It was just forward, and then it had an exclamation point. When did they decide that was the right message for them?
That was the right
message
for them. Are you saying drunk?
We're all guessing, but yeah,
right.
I'm guessing.
Really?
I'm guessing. Yeah, doesn't it sound like she's over-enunciating, which you try to do to make sure people don't know you're buzzed?
Right.
Just she's slurring certain things.
And it's also, just listen to what she's talking about, and they got an exclamation
right.
point. What do you think that's about? That is the kind of thing that seems bizarre to you when you've been drinking, too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to give you a sense, though, of our election headquarters here. And we know that the governor also has Lucky Milkshake. We've been spending a lot of time with these two candidates.
And we've been spending a lot of time.
Wow. We... It's really difficult to get a sentence started when you're drunk.
Yeah. And listen to Diane. We'll play some more from last night's coverage on ABC. Listen to how long her sentences are. Now, again, this is several different things edited together. But once she gets going on a thought, it's tough for anyone else to move in and try to pick it up. And Katie Couric, Muggs, you were watching last night. You said Katie Couric was really having trouble with some of the transitions, right?
Yeah. Well, every time Diane Sawyer would pass it off to Katie Couric, Katie Couric wouldn't even wait for her to finish. She would just jump right in and wasn't going to wait for her BS.
Yeah, I need to talk so Diane can't, yeah. is what she was saying.
Really up close and personal, David. And, of course, it's been long work days for people out west as they head in, some of them tugging their children along. But we have a projection to make without our music. We need our music. Many of you are...
What's going on?
We're in the music. Music!
I can't get the numbers unless I have some music.
Tweeting us, and I love precision tweeting, precision social media. Let's go back over to our headquarters and Katie Couric. That's right, and she has run so hard.
What the hell? Come on.
That's right, and she has run so hard, so long, with so much money.
Money!
That we remind everyone how many people around the world die.
What? Hold on a sec. What?
What did she just say?
That we remind everyone how many people around the world die.
Well, it sounds like Diana's about this close to joining them. Well done.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Hey, Ralph.
Hi there. I want to give a quick correction to last hour's Showbiz Beat. We were talking about the Aston Martin DBS, which, for those of you who remember Casino Royale or Quantum of Solace, it is the Aston Martin that Daniel Craig drove in both of those films.
Right.
And we were talking about the car and the fact that the folks at Sony and Aston Martin are kind enough to lend me one for what I believe is the rest of my life, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember them saying when it
you
was.
You should check the
when
paperwork
that wears
on that.
Out.
That
I'm
doesn't
pretty
sound
sure
right.
It's a gift.
I think it's 15 minutes.
I think it was one drive, yeah.
No, I think it was. I think it's a lifetime.
Do you?
Yeah. And so you guys were asking, how much does something like that run? And I said, yeah, it's about 100 grand, which I think is more than I paid for my first home.
Right.
I just wanted to make a quick correction. It is not $100,000. That's ridiculous.
80?
It is, depending on the package that you get.
85?
It is $275,000 to $300,000, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
So, depending on, you know, on the package, you want to get the sport wheels? It's closer to 300 grand.
Holy
moly. If you're going to spend 270, you got to get the sport wheels.
I'm thinking you get
you know
the
what
whole
I mean?
9 yards. And I'm asking for the gun turrets, of course,
sure.
the bulletproof glass, the revolving
seat.
Revolving license plates,
mm-hmm.
Ejection seat. So that's going to run me just north of 300K, I'm guessing, if I were to pay for it. But since it's a gift, I don't think I need to worry
they
about that.
They said something about just a test drive.
What's tax on a gift like that?
You know, there was no mention of gift.
I think gift is what they said.
Huh.
Maybe they said shift. Maybe it's a standard transmission. I can't remember, but either way. I'm thinking we have to have 300,000 listeners, right?
We have at
least 300,000 listeners.
Yeah, we do.
I'm saying, here I am every day.
Right.
Giving you hot off the presses showbiz news. And
slaving away.
Hilarious, vocal, impressionistic comedy.
Right.
Would it kill everybody to put a buck in? Throw a buck in. $1. What's that? That's not even a cup of coffee.
If we can get 300,000 of our listeners just to throw a buck into the kitty.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to ask a question that may not make me popular with Ralph, but if we're marshaling our listeners to donate dollars, is that the best use of their money is buying you a car?
As opposed to, what's our option?
I don't know. Charity, maybe? Homeless people? Sandy victims?
Oh, Christ. Guy gives one kidney. All of a sudden, now he's Mr. Charity. Now he's Mother Teresa.
I'm just saying.
Back off, kidney boy.
People who literally have lost everything they own in the last week.
Choke off your propofol pipe and just go into a blissful deep sleep and let
us. Do you need another car instead, is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't keep the Mustang. I'll donate the Mustang to charity, all right?
Oh, there you go. Happy all right. Now? It's a win-win.
Look, they just had a TV special for Superstorm Sandy.
Right.
Raised 23 mil in an hour over on NBC.
Right.
They're good. They're good. We can cough up 300 grand.
I don't think
grand
that even comes close to covering
it. But compared, 300 grand to 23 million, it's not even comparable.
Right, but Sandy damage is $50 billion.
Well, then $300,000 is hardly going to help towards that, is it? It's not going to make a dent in that number.
So you win.
It'll help you a lot.
It'll change my life. You want to change somebody's life?
Yeah.
Change my life for a change.
I don't want gun turrets on your car because I will die.
Well, that's for sure.
As will everybody else here.
I wouldn't kill you. I would just wing you. So I could have the pleasure of driving in the parking lot every morning and just firing it, just a shot, just taking it, like just a flesh wound.
Left thigh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nick you here and there. While we're talking about movies, I did mention I had more interesting stories to talk about this hour, and I did want to get to this one first. So far, now we're 2 for 3. Heard you guys talking to Harrison Ford earlier today. Saying that he was open to the idea of reprising his role of Han Solo.
We think that's what he said.
Another Star Wars film, which I think would be a great idea. Now Carrie Fisher has stepped forward, and she said she would absolutely return to the role of Princess Leia if they asked her to reprise that in a new Star Wars
film. Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, how dare you? First of all, she's lost a ton of weight. And it would be awesome to see Carrie Fisher back in the Star Wars franchise again. Now you got to find Hamill. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he is over at Arby's now. He's working behind the counter there.
He is.
And
so he'd be fine with it?
He gets off at 8, though. He could do it at night.
That's right. At night shoots, he could keep his shift. But, yeah, if we got Hamill, Ford, and Fisher back together again for a Star Wars film, come on. Come on.
They may have to start from scratch on this one.
Listen, of course they will. They'll reboot. But you tie it in somehow where it's the adventures of Han and Leia's twin sons. Or it's Luke is now training all the young Jedi. He's the new Yoda of the franchise. I mean, there's obviously ways you could tie their characters into a lesser extent and make them featured characters in a new movie, but wouldn't necessarily be the stars.
We should talk to Darth Vader and Yoda at some point.
No, we should not. Tried that when Omar was on vacation. And
Beerbug set it up.
The connection with the Force was not with us for that bit, if I remember properly.
No, it was not.
Holy moly.
Very actively against us.
Yeah, because Beer Mug is a Sith. That's why.
True.
He's a piece of Sith.
Hey!
He is.
Shut your
it's
mouth.
A big bucket of Sith. That Beer Mug. Disney, reportedly, since we're talking about the Star Wars franchise, hungering for more and more. Story today broke that they are in serious conversations with the toy company Hasbro. Talking about buying that company. So if Disney would own Hasbro and about 80% of their properties now that they've absorbed Lucasfilm and Marvel and Muppets and Pixar, they could crank out their own toy lines with those licenses and reap all the benefits and the profits therein.
It's all starting to make sense.
It really is.
There's a plan here.
Turns out once you own everything, you can make a lot of money. That's the business model. Own everything.
What the hell does Disney know about merchandising and licensing?
That's
true.
What do they know? I'm just, I'm endlessly impressed by this company. They sure know how to go about getting what they want, don't they?
No kidding.
Jack Nicholson wants us to know all the stories about him being a horrific womanizer are just legends. Not true at all. Come on, Jack. What do you think, we're idiots?
Come on.
Although he says in an interview with the Sun newspaper in the UK that the life of a gigolo always ends badly. And so that's not his goal. He said he's been intimate with certain ladies for very long periods of time, but his personal life does not play out in public very often, so you may not be aware of his long-term relationships. J.
Jack also admits he's been in a lot of therapy over the years, finds it very helpful, and he likes to think that he is the best patient his counselors have ever had. Can you imagine getting Jack on the couch and what you could learn?
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me more about that.
Oh, hey, what about that one girl?
Tell me the story about the grotto.
At 75 years old, he says he can dole out some advice for life, and he keeps it simple. Here's Jack Nicholson's advice for life.
Okay.
Write this down.
Okay.
Don't lie.
Wait a minute. You got to do it as Jack.
Okay. Do not lie. Do not steal. And do not be afraid.
There you go.
Pretty good rules to live by.
$1 a piece, 300,000 people.
Frank, send it in here. I'm going to get one of those fireman boots just off the freeway there and just put up a sign for charity and just see who donates. And Carmen Electra and Simon Cowell are still dating.
That's not possible.
It is possible, and it's happening. How does Cowell?
Money? Fame?
I guess so. She was talking to Access Hollywood and said that Cowell, in her opinion, Carmen Electra's that is so cute, adorable, and he's a sweetheart. Two of them met on the set of Britain's Got Talent, and she discovered she really liked him. She says he's really cool. What is she, 14?
Yeah.
Reading the diary of a junior high school girl. He's so cute. He's adorable. He's so cool.
I was surprised, not kidding now, that Simon's dating her because she's like 40.
Yeah, but she's a spectacular.
Yeah, she is. No, she's a good deal.
Yeah. I hope Carmen isn't getting too emotionally invested with Simon because the New York Post reports he was spotted with his on-again, off-again girlfriend, Megan Hussaini, last weekend. So he may be stepping out on Carmen Electra. Who's going to make her feel better if she gets sad?
The guy with the new Aston Martin.
That's what I'm talking about.
You can't go wrong.
It's all over the internet. You may have seen it by now. I'm sure we'll have it up on the Internet Roundup sometime soon here on our show. But the brand new video broke this week. Obama Gangnam Style. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
With Obama impersonator Reggie Brown doing his take of the Psy song. And there's a Michelle Obama look-like as well. And they get all kinds of sexy together. He's staring at her ass. He's like screaming. It's actually pretty funny.
But this is the last one, though, right, Ralph? This is it. We can be done with it now, right?
I think Gangnam Style at least has the shelf life of Kevining, and that's still going on.
Man.
So I think we're going to see it for some time.
Have we put up the Homer Simpson one yet?
The Kevining Homer Simpson? I don't know if we have or not.
Because that's the end, right?
We haven't yet? Dave just said nope. But the folks over The Simpsons took time out. The busy artists over The Simpsons took time out to do an amazing, very detailed rendering of Homer Simpson Kevining.
Is there a better way to go out?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what comes next.
You know what I mean? Like, that'll be it. And then we'll all have had our fun, and we can move on.
What about me Kevining in my new Aston Martin? What about that?
With Carmen Electra. With Carmen Electra. Right next to you.
In the passenger seat. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch. Is 55 years old today.
Is that your Brady Bunch character?
I also played the role of Peter. There's only a handful of us who have ever played Peter, and Christopher Knight and I share that.
You play Peter with the best of them.
Thank you so much. Morgan Spurlock, the documentarian, is 42 years old today. Jeremy London and Jason London, the acting London twins, 40 years old today. And Hyunjun Kim from Lost. She was Sun on that very popular program. Doesn't Lost seem like a lifetime
ago? It does. Seems like forever.
Yeah. Boy, did we just live and die and just hang on every word of that show trying to figure out what the hell was going on? Look where that got us. 39 years old.
Still don't know.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. She is the new Bond girl, Bernice Marlowe.
I believe it's Berenice.
Berenice.
Berenice is a little sexier than Bernice. Bernice sounds like the lunch lady at your high school. But Berenice, that's got a little poetry.
Is she way French, Ralph? Is that her deal?
She is way French. Okay, she was like born there and everything.
She's going to be in the studio here tomorrow. Dr. Drew's on the show. We have actor Andre Brower from Last Resort on the program.
Oh, he's the best.
We have John C. Reilly.
What?
On the program tomorrow talking about Wreck-It Ralph.
Star-studded.
We have Irony Singleton, who's T-Boz, I want to say, on The Walking Dead.
I don't think you want to say T-Boz.
Mr. T-Boz.
I don't believe you want to say Mr.
TLC.
T.
Bone?
Let's just stay on T-Bone.
You get it, though.
Keep going. No, you keep going. We got time.
Who is he on The Walking Dead? He's T-Bone. T-Bone's all I got.
That's all I got.
Don't start around.
We can wait all day. I'm just going to move on unless you tell me.
He's T-Dog.
T-Dog. Thank you.
Yeah! And it's irony.
Oh, shut up, Dave.
Not Irony.
And we have tickets for Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
It's Moom Ford.
And Sones.
All tomorrow.